Okay. Tokyo.
South America.
Australia.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Ah, 'tis a lovely spring evening in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Trumpinia Stan, and a pleasant 80 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. We are rocking and rolling both on HeadOn.live stream and on the White Rose Society stream, so that's a bonus. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And it is, of course, being the 12th day of April, 2019. It's also Thorn in the Side. No, it's Friday on the Front Porch. Ha-ha. It's Friday on the Front Porch, and here in about 58 minutes or so, we will bring together the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable group that engages in one of the most scintillating conversations in all of radio each and every Friday. And if you would like to be part of that in gathering, well, by Jove, just run over to headon.live and click on the Skype link. That will take you straight away to the Skype group where folks are gathering for the evening's conversation. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and well, this is, you know, we had a program Monday, then none Tuesday, then Wednesday, and yesterday, and now today. And hopefully things will sort out and get back to a regular order come next week. With one exception, program note, I got family coming in on Tuesday. And so there will be no Titanic Tuesday for what would be the 16th of April. Okay? No program on Tuesday. We begin every program with thanks. Thanks very kindly to Angelica and to Gary up in New York. Thank you to Suman. Thank you to Mark. And thank you to Paul. Those are our subscribers for the 12th day of the month. And thanks very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. You're a big reason. Well, our subscribers are a big reason why the program remains on the air. They knock out about a quarter of our fundraising needs in any given month. A reminder, if you'd like to be part of the happy not quite 100, well, then by all means, go to headon.live, click on contribute, and there you will find the PayPal interface, and you can set up just $10 a month, and that puts you out of about not quite 16 cents per hour for every hour of programming here. Let's see, what's that? Randy in PA says, for some reason, TuneIn's FYI Nation channel is running, not you, but Democracy Now. Well, then you need on TuneIn, you need to navigate away and go to the TuneIn head-on channel, the Horn. That's right, isn't it, Asa? It's just the Horn. And right there, you'll have the have the stream. Hell, maybe I've been canceled. I don't know. I'm kidding. These things happen. But seriously, the only thing that plays at the Horn TuneIn channel is the Horn. and I'm sure Asa will let me know one way or another in a minute here. But it should work that way. So where do we find ourselves wrapping up this second week of April? Well, we find ourselves $440 in the hole. Now, Randy and PA's When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge is still on the table, and there's $50 to go to finish it off. Randy has kindly extended it through the end of this program. If that happens, then 440 will become 240. No. Yes. No. 290. It'll become 290, and we'll work through the rest of that. So if we could knock down that $50, say, in the next 10 or 15 minutes, then we can work on finishing out the week and not having a deficit at the end of this program. So all told, 440, $50 gets it knocked down to 290, and then we go from there. Of course, you know, as noted, the PayPal interface is over at headon.live under the contribute tab. We also have a chat room tab, and just so you'll know, if you look for The Horn on TuneIn, what you'll see is a graphic that says The Horn, the Head On Radio Network, and underneath it says Intelligent Conversation, www.headon.live. That's the official headon.live TuneIn stream. So try it. You might like it. And you'll always get the program there when you go to tune in. Anyway, like I said, we've also got a chat room link. And if you'd like to go there and pick out a screen name and a password, jump right in. The conversation's fine. You'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Silent R. Lamar and Otto DeShot and Squeaky. And, of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master in a 75-degree day in Northern California, has chosen to fold space to become Man Cave. Okay? Good. So that takes care of all the housekeeping, I think. Doesn't it? Have I forgotten anything? Well, I can also tell you that over the weekend, we're gonna dodge the thunderstorms this evening. That's awesome. It's looking like the real nasty stuff is gonna come on Sunday now. But regardless, what I'm hoping to have done over the weekend is some significant technical rearranging going on here. I've solved a couple of technical problems and. Who knows? Well, we might be operating on the Rodecaster gizmo just like we were in D.C. by the time airtime rolls around on Moran Monday. Okay? Huh. Now, where to begin? Where to begin? Oh, and again, if you'd like to participate in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, the Skype link is over at headon.live. Couple of things in juxtaposition. As I noted, our pal Joy up in Michigan observed, while there's still a whole lot of hand-wringing going on in certain quarters about poor, poor Julian Assange, here's something that took place. Yeah, this is a from the San Antonio Express News, the story of Laura Maradiaga. Laura Maradiaga is 11 years old. She was deported, or is in she is facing deportation by herself back to El Salvador without her mama and without her brother, even though Her mother and brother are also in one of our concentration camps. Yeah. As the San Antonio paper reports, Dora Alvarado felt something was off when she arrived at immigration court in Houston March 12th with her two daughters. Laura's sister. A court translator told her that she and her 15-year-old, Adamaris Alvarado, were listed on the docket that day, but her 11-year-old, Laura Maradiaga, wasn't. Sometime later, she got a letter. The letter was written in English. Dora Alvarado did. Now, the fact that it was in English is important because Dora Alvarado neither reads, nor writes, nor speaks English. But she brought it with her when she came back to court this week, where someone told her that the letter was the removal order for her 11-year-old daughter. Speaking at a news conference on Thursday, Laura Maradiaga said, "I don't want to leave my mom. I want to stay with her." They've been here since October. They are refugees from El Salvador because of the violence taking place there, which, of course, we have a certain responsibility for. And it's being treated as an error. Oopsie. The error being committed by the Executive Office for Immigration Review, which is a subsection of the Justice Department, which is being run by an attorney general who looks like Pepe the Frog and behaves like him, too. So Laura Maradiaga's future is, at the very least, in jeopardy. Her home in a rural area of El Salvador's La Paz region became a death trap when a relative testified against a local gang member. Uncles, nephews, classmates, and others have been kidnapped or murdered in retaliation. At the news conference, Dora Alvarado held up a photo of a young girl, a neighbor, left for dead on a dirt road close to her home. As bad as it was in the 1980s, when good old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, and his administration were supporting death squads that roamed the land. Even then, Dora Alvarado said that it was safer then. She said the gangs don't play by the rules of war. It's just violence for the sake of violence. Last year, Adamaris Alvarado told her mother that a gang member had been harassing her and threatened to kill the rest of her family if she spoke about it. Laura Maradiaga said, "That's when Mom told us we were going to the United States." She remains in limbo. But yes, the man who smears feces, we don't know if they're the cats, his cats, or his, Julian Assange, the man who smears cat feces on his walls and treated his Ecuadorian hosts like, well, the same, has been getting a lot of attention lately. And a lot of it has been coming from people who I suppose their reaction is more knee-jerk than, shall we say, considered. Take, for instance, Noam Chomsky, whom a lot of us respect, including me from time to time. Noam Chomsky was interviewed by Amy Goodman and had this to say about the arrest of Julian Assange.
Well, the Assange arrest is scandalous in several respects. One of them is just the effort of governments, and it's not just the U.S. government. The British are cooperating. Ecuador, of course, is now cooperating. Sweden before had cooperated. The efforts to silence a journalist who...
The efforts to silence a journalist. Sweden cooperated. The U.K. cooperated. Ecuador cooperated. Cooperated in what? Assange was initially charged while he was in the UK with having committed some sexual offense against a pair of women in Sweden. This has nothing to do, despite any, well, I guess there are some paranoids out there who are... barking about the some sort of setup. Of course, that was all pre-Me Too, when it was still okay to blame the victim. So Sweden was cooperating in enforcing its own criminal laws, and the UK cooperated by... detaining Assange over those Swedish charges, and he had a hearing complete with due process and all that stuff that they don't have a constitution for in the UK, at least not a written one. And then he jumped bail. So the UK has a right to enforce its laws regarding people who jump bail. And then he, of course, holed up with the Ecuadorians, who put him up for 7 years or so while he had had his machine scream that he was a political prisoner, even though he had walked through those doors entirely on his own. Somewhere along in here, there's bound to be some evidence that fucker's a journalist, but I haven't found it yet. Because, among other things, here's something a journalist doesn't do. A journalist, for instance, doesn't get hold of a big old wad of private data about people who have no connection whatsoever to any state secrecy or anything like that, and then just put it out there for anybody who wants to take a run at it, including, this would include kids who were sick, victims of rape, mental health patients. This is all according to reporting from the Associated Press from a couple of years back. Because WikiLeaks, Assange's radical transparency group, they just dumped medical files on God only knows how many tens or hundreds of people. Hundreds more had family, financial, identity records posted to the web, including the... pertinent information on a pair of teenage rape victims. Yeah. Then there's the Saudi citizen whose information was published, having been arrested by the noble, serene, high, gracious Saudis for the crime of being gay. This, of course, put that person's life at hazard. Does journalist Julian Assange give a great big flying fuck at all about it? Fuck no! He's Julian Assange! Right. In the case of the Saudi man, he said they published everything. My phone, address, name, details. If the family of my wife saw this, publishing personal stuff like that could destroy people. But, of course, who cares, right? Because Julian Assange is a journalist. Yeah, he's a journalist exactly the way I'm the emperor of the amorphous, multi-limbed, interdimensional beings of planet Norblap 9. That is to say, not even remotely. So, Noam Chomsky.
Who was producing materials that people in power didn't want the rascal multitude to know about.
Oh, what a catchy phrase, the rascal multitude. That's ever so much more charming than the hoi polloi or the huddled masses. And I give points to Chomsky because, of course, he's a linguist and a genius. But let's also remember that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks also personally participated in the torment of the family of a murdered man in the United States of America, the family of Seth Rich, by perpetrating a Trump-esque hoax, a vicious smear that WikiLeaks didn't really get the DNC info from, Russia, who hacked the DNC, we now know, but instead from WikiLeaks, and that the devil actually was the one who ordered him killed. The devil in this case being, Hillary. Good question. Almost sounds like it. Jack in Shreveport asking, subject line, Chom. Has Chomsky been hanging out with Dershowitz? You could be forgiven if you thought so.
Okay. That's basically what happened. WikiLeaks was producing things that people ought to know about.
Yeah, WikiLeaks was producing things that people ought to know, like the names, addresses, phone numbers, identities, birth dates, social security numbers of rape victims, because we've all got a right to know that. Except we don't, and except for the fact that WikiLeaks doesn't give a flying fuck. So, color me skeptical as to the martyr credentials of Julian Assange. But that doesn't slow down someone like Daniel Leal Olivas. Oh, I'm sorry, Marjorie Cohn. Marjorie Cohn, my bad. At Truthout, from writing a column, Assange's indictment treats journalism as a crime. Check around, look around, see how many journalists have been imprisoned in the United States for the crime of hacking into a computer. Or conspiracy to hack into a computer. Because any journalist who hacks into a computer has pretty much got to know that said journalist is engaging in conduct that really will kind of, be frowned upon. And by frowned upon, I mean be considered a felony. That's what he's charged with. He's not charged with espionage. He's not charged with spying on the United States. He's not charged with anything relating to anything that was done when he was playing footsie with Guccifer 2.0, whom we now know to have actually been a state actor behind a mask, namely the Russian GRU. But somehow, Julian Assange, who was too fucking privileged to even clean his own goddamn cat's litter box, well, he's a hero.
About those in power. People in power don't like that, so therefore we have to silence it.
Yeah, people in power, like a gay man in Saudi Arabia, whose family could have their heads fucking cut off because of the release of this kind of information.
Okay. This is the kind of thing, the kind of scandal that takes place, unfortunately, over and over. To take another example, right next door to...
Oh, enough already. I don't know how you can make these arguments completely contrary to anything vaguely resembling facts. What? Flavio with a note. Intrepid Assange. Julian sucked up to Don Jr. in hopes of being made Australian ambassador to the U.S. Per a report by Julia Ioffe, in The Atlantic, late 2017. Well, of course he did. Of course he did. But Marjorie Cohn over at Truth Out said, after living on, and you need some dum 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 dum, you know, scary background music. After living under a grant of asylum in London's Ecuadorian embassy for nearly 7 years, WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange was forcibly ejected and arrested by British police on April 11th. What for, Marjorie? What was he arrested for? Oh, wait, fucking bail jumping. Ecuador's president, Lenin Moreno, accused Assange of repeated violations to international conventions and daily life protocols. So, before I get to email, it says, stop telling us what to think of Julian Assange, Bob. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm just telling you what the facts are. He's a dirtbag. And here's the funniest part of it all. If he had just been an intelligent human being and gone back to Sweden to face the inquiry there, it's not like he was tried in absentia. It's not like Sweden is somehow lacking in a judicial system. Then any extradition to the United States would have been doubly difficult because it would have required both the consent of the British and the Swedes. And the Swedes are kind of notorious about taking a dim view of things like capital punishment, which, by the way, there's no indication whatsoever, except from the paranoid ravings of Julian Assange, that he ever would have faced. So we have that. Leaping a vast topical chasm, there's another story out there that deserves mention. I think while I was in D.C., I referred to it a couple of times. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez accepted an invitation to visit a coal mine and go and see the poor miners there in Kentucky, Stan. And she said, sure, I'd be happy to, because she's a gracious, intelligent human being. Well, that may be in jeopardy now. McClatchy reporting that Kentucky Republican Andy Barr has said that she's welcome to come to Kentucky and tour a coal mine, but she needs to apologize first. Yes. Because representing Barr, a maggot, says that she has deeply offended one of our American veterans, Dan Crenshaw. How did she insult Dan Crenshaw? Well, Dan Crenshaw actually got the ball rolling when he attacked Ilhan Omar. Christ, this is beginning to seem like this is beginning to run like the plot line to one of those confusing MTV reality shows about people living at the fucking beach. Ooh, I'm F-bombing like crazy tonight. Sorry. Dan Crenshaw, and you'll remember him. He's the newly elected Republican from Texas who wears an eye patch. I think he's the only one in the House that does that. And he said that that Ilhan Omar was a terrible person, whatever, because of remarks that she made about September the 11th, 2001, in which she said some people did something on 9/11. She said this along the way in a discussion about anti-Muslim sentiment in this country in the wake of this, the attacks of September 11th, 2001. So that triggered Dan Crenshaw who said uncharitable things about Ilhan Omar, at which point Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez responded and said, you know, well, she called him a hypocrite in not exactly that word, but she said of Crenshaw, you refuse to co-sponsor the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, yet have the audacity to drum resentment towards Ilhan with completely out-of-context quotes. And this is entirely true. Because, among other things, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, who really doesn't need to be in the vanguard on the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, but signed on to co-sponsor its reauthorization just the same, well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez pointed out that Ilhan Omar is co-sponsoring the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund reauthorization. But so far, oddly enough, Dan Crenshaw isn't. And in point of fact, a firefighter, a man who was a young man on September 11th, 2001, and had his life brutally altered as a result of what he lived through. Well, he said that he was in Washington, D.C. in March, trying to get members of the House to support the reauthorization. And that Dan Crenshaw told him, well, I really don't have time to talk about that right now. Because Republicans really don't have time to think about 9/11 much at all unless there's some sort of political value to be wrung out of it. And calling Dan Crenshaw out for the hypocrite that he is what has caused Andy Barr of Kentucky to say, she don't need to come to Kentucky until she apologizes for being a horrible human being. Barr said her comments about Crenshaw, quote, demonstrate a lack of civility that is becoming far too common in the U.S. House of Representatives. To which Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's office gave short shrift, saying, we're very proud and thankful for Crenshaw's service, but what we're talking about is his fanning the flames of hate. That was Corbin Trent, spokesman for AOC. Luckily, we still have open borders with Kentucky. That's gonna leave a mark. We don't need Congressman Barr to meet with coal miners and have a town hall, though we'd love his participation if we do. Well, I have a suggestion. Instead of going to Kentucky and talking to the pure miners, and this is just a tiny little radio program, But I will personally extend an invitation on behalf of the AIC campaign, whose bill she has recently co-sponsored. She's listed as the first co-sponsor of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act in this Congress, H.R. 2050. I'll extend an invitation to Representative Ocasio-Cortez. Come on down to the Coal River Valley. And instead of having a town hall with the pure miners, maybe she could have a town hall with people who are dealing with the mining industry's diseases. Maybe we could take her up on Cayford Mountain and let her look around and, as far as she can see nothing but moonscape and dead planet. Hey, did you see the trailer today for the next Star Wars movie that comes out at Christmas? Episode 9, Skywalker's something or another. I did. It's just chock full of things to make you wonder what it's going to be like. J.J. Abrams is back at the helm, so I don't know what to make of that. But toward the end of the trailer, there's this scene where some people walk up over the lip of something and they stare off at this gray, dead place. And it looks like the remnant of the Death Star has fallen onto a planet in the distance. And the minute they crossed the rim of that space, I looked at them and went, son of a, that looks like a mountaintop removal site. Because it did. But in all seriousness, a flyover of a couple of mountaintop removal sites would probably tell Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez more about the coal industry in Appalachia than any town hall or any amount of coal keeps lights on sloganeering from the likes of that little dude from the Kentucky Coal Association and the hand-picked people who would be in the room. Just a thought. Just a thought. Oh, and this. I've got a little piece of sound here from where'd it go? Ah, yes. From E.W. Jackson. Expanding upon his vast knowledge, or expounding upon his vast knowledge, of our Second Amendment freedoms. Get the hockey puck. Won't take long, but still, get the hockey puck.
He wants to then have a mandatory buyback, so you would be forced to turn over the weapon, and you'd be given a certain amount of money by the government in return for the weapon. I cannot tell you how much I abhor that idea. See, because first of all, A, you are messing with people's fundamental right to defend themselves. B.
No, that's a lie. E.W. Jackson is, of course, an evangelical Christian, so naturally most of the things that come out of his mouth are lies. You're not by having a mandatory gun buyback on, say, semi-automatic assault weapons that have no place in civil society, you're not taking away people's right to defend themselves. You are acting in the best interests of the nation as a whole, and they're still free to defend themselves in legal fashion. Ball bats, bows and arrows, samurai swords, pistols, shotguns, most of which will always do the trick.
You are punishing law-abiding people who never hurt anybody and wouldn't even think of hurting anybody with a firearm.
Wouldn't think of. You know, sometimes when you don't, think of things, that's what the law considers to be negligence. Negligence is broadly defined as doing or not doing that thing which the reasonable, prudent person in the same or similar circumstances would do or not do, depending upon what the question is. And the not doing part can sometimes be negligent.
But want to be able to defend themselves if some bad guy wants to hurt them.
Right. And they want to defend themselves with a weapon that will propel a bullet out of its muzzle at such a high rate of speed that it'll go through the bad guy, go through a wall, and in the next room go through a baby, and go through another wall, and maybe go through a neighbor outside the building. Because they have hellacious muzzle velocity.
You are punishing them because outlaws are never going to give up their weapons, period. They won't. Well, why do
you know what? You know what outlaws mostly don't use? Assault rifles. Because they're bulky. Your garden variety criminal likes to have a pistol that he can put in the waistband of his pants or in his back pocket or drop in his pocket or put in a boot or something like that. Because if you're walking around, well, maybe I shouldn't say this in 2019, but generally speaking, if you're walking around with an AR-15 hanging off your shoulder or hanging around your neck, it sort of calls attention to itself. And in some instances, once upon a time, it could even be said to create a situation in which someone might think you were up to no good.
You need an AR-15. Well, look, bad guys have Uzis and AK
howitzers and bazookas. No, EW, you fucking moron. They don't. They don't carry those usually. Concealability is what it's all about.
AK-47.
Is that an AK-47 in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
And all kinds of stuff. Why shouldn't law-abiding citizens be able to have any kind of weapon they want? You know,
how is it when assholes like E.W. Jackson talk about people having any kind of weapon they want, they never go to nunchucks. They never go to throwing stars. They never go to, say, a Scottish claymore that it takes two arms to, you know, the real heft. It's always the goddamn guns.
I won't get into the whole automatic weapons deal because, I mean, an automatic weapon is, here again, there's a high degree of danger to it because you pull the trigger one time and it fires off multiple rounds.
And yet, lo and behold, a suit was recently rejected by a gun goober group that sued to overturn one of the few things the Trump regime has ever gotten right, and that would be the bump stock ban, which essentially turns an ordinary weapon into a machine gun, as we learned to our horror, say, in Las Vegas.
Oh, you know, that's a whole other issue. Now, I won't get into what I consider to be the theoretical nature of the Second Amendment, because frankly, I think the Second Amendment that wouldn't even, if you followed it strictly, it wouldn't even allow for that limitation, because the notion.
Or if you followed it strictly and you were a constitutional originalist, like Fat Dead Tony Scalia and some of those freaks over there at the Federalist Society, if you was to get all constitutional originalist, nobody in this country would be able to allow a gun that didn't load from the muzzle and fire only a single shot, after which you had to reload. Same for pistols. And cannons. But, well, old E-Dub here is an atne ute aitbre, if you one what I mean, may.
Of a standing, the notion of a militia means that the people would be armed to defend themselves against an organized army or against some sort of tyrannical effort to rob them of their freedom.
Or take their slaves away, but never mind.
And therefore they would be capable of being armed as well as anything that came against them.
But they would only be worth a fuck on a battlefield if they had been well regulated. That's why that phrase is in the Second Amendment. Because a bunch of doofuses with guns who haven't really had any training in how to operate and use them in conjunction with a bunch of other people with guns, well, that's not a militia, that's a mob.
We won't get off into that.
Yeah, let's don't get off into that. So now we go down to Georgia. To Paulding County, Georgia. Yes. In Paulding County, Georgia, Mama and Daddy parked their car in the driveway of a home on Laurel Crest Lane in an unincorporated area called Dallas. This is all according to Paulding County Sheriff's Spokesman Sergeant Ashley Henson, speaking to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Sergeant Henson said, they were all loaded up to leave the home and the car wouldn't start. I'm assuming in this case, since it's Georgia, Ashley is a guy. You know, like the barbecue down to 12 Oaks. It got scarlet, so head up. They were all loaded up to leave the home, and the car wouldn't start. Their mother hopped out, the two children, there's two children in the car, 6 and 4. Their mother hopped out to find the source of the problem, and somehow, somehow the young boy got hold of a handgun. The next paragraph merely says, his sister was shot in the head. That passive voice doing a lot of work there. The six-year-old boy, the four-year-old boy shot his six-year-old sister in the head. And, she was taken to the hospital with horrible injuries. She didn't make it. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporting, and who wants to be the person who writes this news story? This is the god-awful side of journalism. After speaking with the children's mother, detectives believe, remember it's the most dangerous word in the English language, believe the handgun was retrieved from the center console and the four-year-old accidentally discharged it. I don't know how a detective can make that conclusion that it was accidentally discharged. Is it accidental when the little finger goes around the trigger and squeezes the trigger and the gun goes bang? Accidentally discharged is he drops the gun and the gun just goes off. Sheriff Gary Gulledge said in a statement yesterday morning, our hearts break for this family, and we hope God puts his healing hands around them during this difficult time. Now, you've got almost the entire story as it is in print, except for the last line of the story. No charges will be filed in the case, Henson said. So let's review, because even in April, it's already getting right hot down Georgia way. And I'm sure the warnings are already going out. Hey, don't, because I've seen them on the highway. Agnes was kind of amazed last time we went southward. And she saw these warnings on the highway message boards out on the interstate that says, before you get out of the car, look in the back seat and make sure your kid isn't there. Don't leave your kid in a hot car. The kid could die. Because you know what we do with people who leave their kids in the car and the car gets hot and the kid dies? We charge them. With criminal neglect of a child. But in this case, well, you know, you just got to have a loaded handgun in the center console of your automobile, and when it won't start, sometimes you just have to run back into the house, and you forget your four-year-old and your six-year-old in the car, and you're in there rooting around for the jumper cables, and bang! No charges will be filed in the case. Even though this is a more egregious case of child neglect than leaving a baby in a hot car. You see, sometimes when the child doesn't die in the hot car, the cops get called because somebody sees the child in the hot car, and sometimes they'll even break the window out to get the baby out of the hot car. But you really can't act fast enough to stop the four-year-old from pulling the trigger and killing his six-year-old big sister. But it's all okay. And I don't mean to seem insensitive or callous in regard to the grief this family must certainly be going through. But Jesus Christ, they didn't need to be going through it. What kind of enemies do they have in this country or down there in Paulding County, Georgia, that they had to have a loaded handgun in the center console? What a horror. What a horror the NRA has made of this country. By the way, it's obvious they were lawful gun owners because no charges will be filed in the case. Now, if Mama had failed to feed those babies for a couple of weeks and they were withering and starved and their ribs were sticking out and they were malnourished, Mother would be charged, Mother would be arrested, Mother would have her children taken away from her. But they're not even going to take the little boy away from them because, well, freedom. What a monumentally fucked up situation. And what a monumentally fucked up county and fucked up state and fucked up country this is. That, well, maybe the sheriff's department gave him a good talking to. And before anybody sends me an email and asks the question, no, Mama was not African American. And no, neither was the little dead girl, and neither is the little dead boy. Because if they were, you can bet that the prosecutor would have been able to find that felonious criminal neglect of a child statute and put it to real use. You damn right. Yep, Silent R. Lamar was right there almost before I got there. Nope, Mother's not black. Not in the least. So I just I had seen that story earlier in the day, and then I saw E.W. Jackson opining that people need to be able to own any kind of weapon that they want to own. Well, you know, my neighbor down the street has one of them Moabs. I think I need to have me an atomic bomb. You can never be too safe. But see, the reason that goddamn gun is in the console is because of people like Wayne LaPeter and Ollie North, who run around this country saying, oh, it's a dangerous country. And when they talk about what a dangerous country is, there are so many dog whistles in that, it brings entire kennels on the run. Because when they say dangerous country, they don't mean other white folks. They mean an America, a terrifying America, that's just in a 24/7, 365 rerun of The Purge. Right. Steve in New York pointing out, bad guys have sharks with frickin' laser beams on their heads. Meanwhile, Ron in Raleigh says, because nunchaku, bow staffs, all swords, etc., are illegal in most states, which I find odd, because the Second Amendment says the right to keep and bear arms. It doesn't say the right to keep and bear guns, damn it. True enough, Steve in New York says, hold on there. If the issue is defending oneself with a gun, isn't the whole point of defending oneself intending to hurt the other person? Well, it does kind of go, you know, into the larger scheme of things. Yeah. And Scott in San Diego asks, in regard to old E-Dub, isn't an assault weapon buyback basically a similar concept to eminent domain? Well, yeah, that's true of a sort, I suppose. Cowbell, please, says Silent R. Lamar. Okay, I give up. Add E-Dub along with Mr. Jesse Lee. Black man, I will kick in the nuts on sight. Wait a minute, says Ron in Raleigh. How the hell did the little fella get to the gun? Shouldn't he have been strapped? How the hell did the little fella get to the gun? Shouldn't he have been strapped into his safety seat? Here in Durham, the man that shot three Muslim students won't be facing the death penalty. Not that I'm for the death penalty, but you can bet your last money that if the shooter had shot three white kids, his ass would already be on death row. Yeah, I was kind of wondering about the safety seat, too. And, you know, children are curious. They open things that are closed. I wonder if he opened the glove box first or the center console. Wonder if... Fortunately, what's his fuck, the governor, and who's his fuck, the attorney general, won't be outraged by this because, of course, they're Second Amendment Republicans who value the Second Amendment more than they do a six-year-old little girl's life. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution printed her photograph, the little girl's. And it about gutted me, because she bore a striking resemblance to a six-year-old little girl I used to know. She had a white spring dress on and a wreath in her hair. She looked an awful lot like our eldest daughter the day that Agnes and I got married. Megan says, any kind of weapon? In the state of Delaware, tasers are regulated because of their potential to be abused. I also cannot carry wasp spray for use in self-defense because it's illegal. Poisonous. Irony much? Well, see, you don't live in a free state like Georgia. They got them some freedom down in Georgia. Ain't got no freedom in Delaware. Oh. And Steve from Georgia stands says, stop gooning on Georgia. I can get oil now. We can now have dispensaries. UGA is going to grow it. Go Dogs. Silent R. Lamar says, hey, Bob, when I get me my Sherman tank, can you give me EW's address? Oh, you don't want no Sherman tank. That's an antique. You want yourself an M1A1 Abrams, buddy. Because freedom. Mm-hmm. Of course, your larger families are going to want a Bradley fighting vehicle because you can put a whole bunch of folks in that. Second Amendment freedom, damn it. So here we are at the close of the first hour of the program. Remember, we had $50 to go to finish Randy and PA's When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. And Randy has been real generous with this challenge. He put it on the table Wednesday, left it on the table Thursday, and said, hey, you know what? If it's not met by close of business, close of the program Friday, it's off the table. That would be a darn shame, because that would put us in an even deeper hole than we're already in. So if we can knock that down, $50 will qualify for the challenge. And that'll take the whole thing down to only $290 to go. 10 at 29, 29 at 10, 2 at 145. The rest of it makes my head hurt. But let's not go into Moran Monday with a Jesus God $640 deficit at the halfway point of the month. Let's don't do that. What let's do is let's find out what's going on out in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Pretty good. Lovely-ish day here. Rained earlier, but got real pretty real quick.
Well, I'm standing here looking at a mountain out the back door, covered with snow.
Oh, it's so clear you can see it?
Yeah, there ain't not a cloud in the sky. There's a few of them. I had to move.
Oh, I bet it's beautiful.
Did you hear about that guy who set himself on fire in that mobility chair, scooter, whatever, and tried to race into the White House?
Yeah, I did. And it's only gonna get weirder, Sparky.
And Secret Service didn't shoot him. They just put the fire out.
Is he dead?
No, he's in the hospital with burns. I guess the EMS people were right there, and there's always a fire crew around that White House.
Shit. Damn, Duncan, I bet he wishes he was dead, don't you?
Well, the other...
covered burn marks?
The other thing I saw is that they were investigating suspicious packages. Did you see that part, too?
Yeah.
Did he place the packages?
Well, it didn't say in the news article I read just about an hour ago or so. Yeah,
me neither, and it kind of left me in a sort of journalistic limbo that way.
I was thinking maybe the guy was trying to do a suicide by cop thing, hoping they'd shoot him.
Or, you know, kamikaze mobility scooter?
Yeah, but those things don't blow up. Nothing on them to blow up. I don't think the batteries would blow up.
Well, people are being driven quite out of their minds.
I'll see. Then he's going to talk about dumping kids and families all over California and sanctuary cities.
Well, yeah, not just that, though. You know, the story broke last night, and then somebody in the White House said, well, you know, we talked about it for a minute, but then we realized it was so patently illegal, there was no way to do it. And so then he comes out today and said, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to do it. He's not home. I know it's like a broken record now, but and it's almost like you don't want to ask the question lest the universe be listening. But how crazy does this fucker have to be before people are willing to take some sort of action? You know, last night, Darlene and I went through that detailed examination of what I call the Thomas Riley Marshall Clause in the 25th Amendment, and I can't be the only person who's looking at that. Because if I am, we're in real trouble. So, you know. Alma asks, why in the world would one shoot someone for setting themselves on fire? I'm at a loss for trying to figure out the... because they tend to get a little... they get a little trigger happy there around the White House with things like that. So, that's my best guess. But
yeah,
it's going to be bad.
They probably had a fire extinguisher in the guardhouse.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, that almost goes without saying. But I'm glad they didn't shoot the person. Mm-hmm. Because anybody who does that is probably not mentally fit. And this country should not... There's way too many examples of law enforcement officials in this country killing people who are in various states of... mental health extremists. One more would not have been good. Oh, and thank you to Samson. Thank you, Samson, very kindly. Randy's When Billionaires Choose You Lose challenge has been met. So now we've only got 290 to go. And Robert just took that to 285. So we're off and running. Thank you both. Thank you, Robert, and thank you, Samson. And thank you, Randy, for making the challenge. Oh, I see Clarity in the room. Clarity, do you have a mic on? We haven't heard from you in a very long time.
Here I am.
Well, happy day. We've been, you know, we had, I think it was Patty who said that, you know, immediately after your surgery, you thought you were feeling froggy enough to talk, but I didn't figure that was going to happen, but how are you?
Oh, I'm, starting to, I got my 5-week post-op Wednesday, and I'm released to do whatever I can tolerate now. I'm excited because I can get back on the horns, and I got a new guitar.
Oh, fun. What'd you get?
Oh, I got a Yamaha. It's a Dreadnought. Electric acoustic. My Martin had a.
You mean like a semi hollow body, or is this an acoustic guitar with a pickup?
It's a guitar with a pickup, but it's a direct pickup. It's not a. So it's very clean.
Yeah.
Very clean.
Ferg saw one of those over at the music store in Beckley, and it actually had an effects processor in it that just made it sound fantastic.
Oh yeah, there's no end to things that you can do, you know, chorus and reverb and all these things that you can do live, not even accounting for doing loops and
That chorus effect was one of the things that was in there, and it just sounded fantastic.
Well, it's a lot cheaper than buying a 12 string, because that's kind of what it sounds like when you got a good chorus. It sounds like a 12 string.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So you're able to be up and about and noodle around on your new axe? And...
Yeah, I'm going against medical advice. I'm not supposed to get on my bicycle until June. But it's how I get around town, and as long as I don't sit down on the seat, I won't hurt myself. So it's a good way to get my legs built up in a hurry.
So you just stand up and pedal?
Yes. Yeah.
That's got to be a... Well, how far do you have to ride?
Well, to the market and around the loop. If I go all the way from Bi-Mart to Safeway to the health food store and home, that's about a four-mile loop. But usually it's to go to Fiesta Foods, my favorite little Mexican market. It's, you know, it's about three-quarters of a mile, so it's a mile and a half round trip. That's not bad. I've got, you know, I've got a nice mountain bike. Not easy to pedal. But what I wanted to say is that I kind of had an epiphany right after surgery. It was like, and it was a great day. It was my birthday, my 64th birthday, and I was singing as they wheeled me off to surgery. And so it was like everything I said, people were just, you know, cracking up, laughing. And I said, huh, I wasn't that funny before surgery. So when I saw the surgeon the next morning, I said, did you cut out my sourpuss?
Oh, my. Yes.
So anyway, if you hadn't been informed, there was no transfusions. There was no need for any grafts. They used almost all the tissue. That's why the joke was that he had a little bit left over. And I said, well, that must have been the sourpuss, you know. But it's been amazing. I've had to continue to take a little bit of OxyContin, but I've been able to manage with CBD and other things that are legal over the counter, and my own baked stuff that I make.
That's fantastic. I'm just so proud for you, and I know the whole family community congregation is.
Well, I guess I am the first person in the group to go from one to the other side, you know.
Yeah, I guess the official term is to complete confirmation.
Yes, it's gender-affirming surgery. I like that term.
Yes, affirmation, not confirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no religious overtones.
Anyway, when I went in to get instructed on how to do the dilation, which is a process of, you know, shaping and stretching and getting things, you know, so they work right. And it's also essential to keep the area clean. But when doing the dilation, it sloughs off cells because it is epidermal cells. It's not endothelial tissue. So you're sloughing off cells, but it's dry. So the dilation and that work is essential as far as keeping things clean as well. But doing it three times a day, it's pretty much, you know, it's all consuming. And I will be down to twice a day starting next Thursday and going back into therapy. But I've been feeling pretty good, and I know it's partially spring and partially that nobody can say no to me now. You know, I got through all the goddamn gates, you know.
You jumped all the hoops.
Yeah. And, that was what I was going to tell you. The first people that came in to visit me was the trans health coordinator and her associate, who got me off the ledge a couple of times because I was so depressed about, you know, not moving on with my transition because of obstacles and delays and, you know, stuff that they did. And, you know, a lot of people will quit, give up, jump off that ledge. And I got through it. Anyway, what I sorted out, the people that are going through transition now don't have to deal with, because they would only allow the electrolysis to be built in half-hour increments. And they should be able to take, you know, as much as the person can bear. Some people can only handle 5 or 10 minutes. They're so sensitive. So, but the issue with me was using medical transportation from Eastern Oregon, you know, 4 hours each way, for a half hour visit was just ridiculous. But they would not allow it to be, you know, for an hour, even though I had pre-approved the treatment and everything. Anyway, she said, that's your legacy for the program here at OHSU, is that no one else has to deal with that obstacle as far as getting through their transition. And since I started in 2014 I started hormones on January of 2015, but I was diagnosed in 2014. They're going to add another surgeon to the there. And I was patient number 184.
Let me ask you, that horrible old joke about, doctor, will I be able to play piano after this? The doctor says, well, I see no reason why not. And the patient says, well, that's great because I could never play piano before.
Never played before.
what about going back to the band?
Well, I know that just because physically I'm not as strong and, you know, the surgery takes a little bit out of you, that, you know, I'm going to have to really be keen on, you know, my fitness and taking care of myself, because the voice really does reflect your overall vitality and energy. But I'm excited. The band's kind of been a mess since I've been gone, because they don't have, it's hard to run a rehearsal without lead vocal. And, you know, winter's kind of rough because we don't do that many gigs, so it's hard to keep people motivated. I'm really excited about the band. We finally got all of our promotional stuff finished. You know, we have a good demo recording. We've got a bit that we can send out, and a passable photo. All the things that, you know, for some reason they won't book you unless you have all those things. And we're hoping, you know, to break into the winery scene.
For people who don't know, that's a good gig out there.
Yeah.
Doing the winery tours. Well, you just got a congratulations Clarity from the Blue Hen on Facebook. So make no mistake, people have been rooting for you all along. And
I guess that's why I made it through, because I made a list of, you know, my medical team Clarity, I call them. And there was like 15 people, you know, between the urology and dermatology and psychology and peer counseling and medical med management, you know, all those people, you know, put something into me getting here, you know. So, yeah, I appreciate all your thoughts and meditations. I won't use the word prayer. Oh, I did. But, you know, I know you guys were thinking about me. And
friend, if you ever want to come to the east side and you have a demo, let me know. This area is like the new California as far as winery. It's really, really taken off. And I could probably get you some work here if that's something you guys are interested in.
The Great Southeast Tour.
Yep, the Great Southeast Tour. So,
and the wine is very good, I must say. I drank the wine from Helen, I remember.
Yep. Yeah, this whole, the Molloy whole region, yeah, they're calling it the California on the east side. I mean, wineries are just popping up everywhere, man.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Clarity.
Well, yeah, it's funny. The physician's assistant who's been taking care of me after the surgery, because my surgeon is so busy, she said, "You're a natural. You're a natural." You know, it just.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah,
and Irish Dave said in reference to you saying you had an epiphany, he pointed out that's like at AA meetings when we say a moment of clarity. So, how things work.
I'm hoping for a lifetime of clarity. Now,
hear, 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 hear.
I named it. I'm gonna live it.
Exactly. Hey, Steve, let me thank you, buddy. Thanks for jumping in. You and Gary jumped in, and we're down to just $200 to go, so that's flipping awesome. Thank you, Steve, and Ms. Karen, and little Cletus, and little Twiggy. And thank you to Gary. That's huge. So
you're very welcome, Bob.
Now all we got left is what we would ordinarily have for tonight. And with an hour and 40 minutes to go in the program, we got a fighting chance. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, et cetera, et cetera. But are you feeling better, Steve?
Yeah, just Cletus' way of letting you know that you were sorely missed.
Well, it's kind of odd. I'm never quite as much at ease when I'm in some other room with a different setup doing this. Nothing changes, but you just like to be home. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm fine. I've been having some stomach issues, but when the horn comes on, especially the porch, they go away, man.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I need you to sprinkle some of that dust over here. Give me a bottle of it or something, or whatever the hell you're doing.
it's just the it's the collective sanity, I think.
Yep.
See how I didn't use clarity? Yeah.
Raw sauerkraut's good for a little bit of that stomach.
Yep. Yeah. I've
oh,
got
Steve.
Clarity.
Steve. Oh, clarity. Steve knows from the raw sauerkraut.
Love that.
Hey, clarity. Can I promote a herb to take for your stomach and for? I've been taking milk thistle. No, turmeric I've been taking, but milk thistle is great for the liver. It clears out a lot of fat. And I can't believe how much more energy I have after taking it for like 2 weeks. I've taken like a gram a day. It's amazing. I had a terrible cold. I wanted to get on the horn last Friday. I just couldn't do it. I was just so tired.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of times where you just said you were feeling like crap.
Yeah. Not that I want to brag about it, but, I just can't function when
it's
like crap. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And when your stomach's running, you're gone, man. I don't know how Bob does it. He gets these attacks that last 2 or 3 months at a time and still goes on the damn radio, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
he does.
When you want to disembowel yourself, that's when you think you've got a real problem,
Well, I mean, for my purposes, it did me The DC thing was really exhausting, but the fact that we came back knowing we had accomplished so much, and coupled with the fact that while we were there, we had exquisite weather for DC for the most part, and the cherry blossoms
were
just
blooming.
I've never seen them so beautiful.
I hope you got some pictures, man.
No, there was never. Mostly, I saw them whizzing by on the George Washington Parkway, and of course, they bloom all around Capitol Hill. But you couldn't get near the tidal basin or the because
you can't walk around that anymore.
But the crowds were like a rock concert.
Oh
wow!
Did you
go to the?
They knew you were in town, Bob.
Bob, did you visit the White House?
No, I decided not to. I won't set foot in that place until someone else's foot isn't never mind the foot ain't there anymore.
But does he look like he's getting fatter? I noticed he looks like he's got edema in his face.
I'm convinced. If he's 239 pounds, I'm a svelte 125.
Hello, Jack LaLahey.
You are, Bob. You look like that to me.
Well, that's the miracle of Photoshop, Rick.
Yes, of course.
Let's see. Thank you to Angel. Hey, big news. We're down to 180. And food for thought, I just had a note from Darlene in Connecticut talking about the possible causation for the man in the mobility scooter setting himself on fire. You know, you don't usually do that for kicks.
No.
Darlene says, or the man in the motorized wheelchair, most likely someone with a pre-existing condition, is desperate because health insurance has become unaffordable for him. As someone in a motorized wheelchair myself who is paying $1,168 per month in health insurance through the exchange, I'm lucky I can manage to pay it.
With chronic pain on top of all that,
Wait. Darlene says, as someone in a motorized wheelchair myself who is paying $1,168 per month in health insurance through the exchange, I'm lucky I can manage to pay it, at least for one more year. Such payments are not sustainable in the long run for me. I would not exclude the possibility that this man is totally sane and decided that when ending his life, he'd make a statement because he's out of options. Thank you, GOP. Thank you, good old U.S. of A. Yeah, I know. It makes you want to fire up Lee Greenwood. And tomorrow, if they come and took away all the things I had, God bless the USA. Only well, that's easy to sing that shit, but a hell of a lot harder to live it.
I want to thank Darlene for articulating what probably a hell of a lot of us are thinking.
Yeah.
It's all about the flaming hoops, people.
Yeah.
That's how they've set up the procedures for vulnerable people in this country. It's all about the flaming hoops. It's kind of a bet that you will wear out or just fucking die. I forget which congressman had the graphic on the House floor.
Oh, that was Alan Grayson. Die quickly.
Yeah.
Or remember what was it? 2012, the Republican primary, Scott, when the cranky old Uncle Ron Paul asked, "Well, what do you want to do? Just leave them to die in the hallways?"
And
all them Republicans, all them good God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered evangelical Republicans just clapped and cheered, "Yay! Praise Jesus! Leave them dying in the hallways! Hallelujah! Glory! Put your hands in the air, Yzma!" Right.
Let them die. That was the chant.
Let them die. Let them die. Sure, you're absolutely right, Rick.
Yeah, I remember that. Nuts.
Sick. Totally sick. It's a cult.
I know that a lot of us are not true believers, you know, in the sense of the Judeo-Christian teachings. But the irony here is, by and large, these right-wing fanatics just swear up and down that they are true believers in the principles and examples of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And everywhere you look in the four Gospels, you can't go through any of the four Gospels without encountering several instances where blind people got their sight back, hearing impaired, deaf people got their hearing back, ill people of many types were restored and renewed. Hell, even Lazarus was raised from the dead, and he had been dead long enough that he stunk, okay, or stank. I forget which one.
See, I'm always a little skeptical of that one, though, because it was the Middle East, and bathing wasn't high on the list, and he probably stunk before he died.
Well, this is true, Bob. Technicalities. You rock
it around.
Come
on, let's not be technical, Bob.
But
come
the
on.
Point of it is...
We're talking about miracles here, you know?
All of these modern-day so-called true believers, you never hear bona fide instances where they're... Because Jesus told the disciples and their descendants, greater things than these shall you also do. And in 2019, you cannot find any instances where 5,000 unexpected lunchtime drop-in guests got fed to the point of having to gather up the leftovers on the basis of a couple of loaves and a few fish. The modern-day so-called true believers are not lifting a fucking finger to live out the precepts of their faith and belief system in a meaningful, tangible way for people who are the least of these, is all I'm saying.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think back, Scott, to my father. My father lived to be 82. And for, 22 years, the last 22 years of his life, he was giving himself insulin injections. And because of the coverage he had at the time before the collapse of our healthcare system, he could afford to, you know, to have his insulin delivered to him. If the same situation were in place today, he might just have to fucking die. Because...
And do you... I mean, do you find yourself wondering if they write that into the equation, that a certain number of people are going to die,
yeah,
and they kind of count on it
for budgetary purposes? That, you know, that's the kind of stuff that they pioneered in the MBA program at Harvard, where the MBA I think back to the words of our dear departed friend Bruce up in Wisconsin. MBA just means more bigger assholes.
And that's what they
teach people how to do. But what I was getting
the
at...
The bean counters, yeah, it's across the board, man.
Yeah, well, they've taken over. And, you know, insulin is not complicated medicine.
No, you can make it from animals.
But you can't get it. I mean, it used to be cheap. It's not cheap anymore.
The
reason it's not cheap doesn't have to do with the fact that we've got ever so much better insulin now. It has to do with the fact that the shareholders and the hedge funds have to get theirs first.
Well, it's the EpiPen phenomenon, Bob. Same thing, man.
Right, because there's nothing... There's nothing that does not have to be maximized to its absolute pinnacle of profit.
And that was Manchin's daughter that hiked that shit up.
Yeah, it was. That's a hell of a segue, Steve. Yeah. into Joe, I'm going to go. Understand, you know, we've been talking about Dare to Dream in 20, about not just taking the Senate, but taking it with a vengeance. Well, it all begins with just about every road begins in Maine with the presumption of throwing Susan Collins the hell out of the Senate. Well, lo and behold, here comes my senator, the alleged Democrat, Joe Manchin. Well, I'll go and I'll happily campaign for Susan Collins. I can't imagine the Senate without a wonderful woman like her. And that's just payback for the fact that she gave him cover when he decided to, you know, do for Brett Kavanaugh what, well, you know, the 90s.
Got it.
Woo-wee. Good thing I got the microphone tuned right. It is pouring outside right. No, that's not pouring. That's wind. Wow. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll get through the program. I see Megan's in the group. What's up, Megan?
Hey, Bob. Can you hear me?
I just did.
Cool. I just had the rare Friday night off, so I decided to join you guys on the porch. Usually I listen to the program from work.
Welcome back, Megan.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome anytime. So the Skype link worked okay?
Yes, worked beautifully, thank God.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's been windy all day up here, Bob, so I don't know if we're in the same, weather cycle.
Well, I think all that crap that hit the upper Midwest sort of swooped and looped, and we're probably getting variations on the same theme.
Yeah, it's been really windy, like sort of warm, but sort of cool, and... Yeah, that in between where you're not sure whether to wear a jacket or not.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that.
It's the jet stream's all screwed up. We've had the Midwest has had this huge snowstorm, what they call a polar wind or polar storm, and then 3 weeks later they had the same thing. They're having 2 feet of snow in some parts of North South Dakota. It's insane. This is not normal weather.
I was scratching my head on that one.
They're calling it a bomb cyclone because they don't have the words to describe it otherwise, you know?
Right, that's the words.
Bomb cyclone. Didn't Oregon just get nailed?
We had a big, we had one Saturday night. We had a big rainstorm, but we've had constant rain or off and on rain for the past 2 weeks. So normally this time of year we get sunny weather, but we're kind of like, right underneath the jet stream, so we're getting all these clouds and all this weird turbulence, So it's like, it's really depressing. It's like January and April, you know, but oh well.
I know. We're going to finally have an 80-degree day next week.
Wow.
Wow.
That's early for April.
Yeah, we're starting to creep up to the 70s.
We've had 80-degree days in January before.
Oh, wow. Oh,
well, that's
right. You're California. You're California. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we had some 80 in D.C., and it was like I said, it was like walking through room temperature Jell-O.
I got
welcome
to
D.C., Bob.
What'd you say, Megan?
I said, welcome to D.C., Bob.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there was nothing. It was just, yeah. It'll be glory. By July, it will be gloriously gooey there, and we'll probably have to go back.
My dad used to say that air conditioning is what made the federal government as bad as it is when it's bad, especially the Congress, because prior to the advent of decent air conditioning, those bastards would recess for the entire summer. They'd go away
I believe it.
You know, the end of after Memorial Day.
Because D.C. is technically a swamp.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know how true that was.
I believe it.
I've got a question for Clarity, if she's still there. What is in that pre-op medicine that they give you before as they wheel you into the operating theater and then give you the big stuff to put you completely out?
I think it's called Profanol.
Profanol, that's it. That's what Michael Jackson was.
That's mother's milk.
Doing. Profanol.
Yeah. Mother's milk.
Profanol.
Yeah. Yeah, the street term for that is milk of amnesia.
Well, you do get funny. I was told the last operation I had, when I was in recovery afterwards, they said you're a funny dude, because I was apparently, you know, doing my routine as they were wheeling me in to the operating deal, you know.
Yeah, Scott, when I had foot reconstructive surgery, I didn't have anything but that, and I got through it, you know.
Wow.
They do.
Did you say butt reconstruction?
No, he did not say butt. Stop it. Stop it, Scott. Just quit it. It's too early.
Stop now? Okay.
Yeah. It helps you fit on the shiny hiney better that way.
Yeah.
There's another name for a shiny hiney, too. There's another company that makes one.
Oh, God help us. 7:38 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Like suave, shiny, hiney or something.
You were.
Yeah.
Well, I pick up on these things.
Hey, Otto, thanks very kindly for taking us down to 170, brother. Thank you very much.
Bob, it wasn't Hello. Otto who gave you that money. It was God himself.
Oh, God. Is that Sebastian Bork again?
No, this is my crazy Christian voice. I want to punk Bob out someday, call in and pretend I'm like some whack job, you know. But I have to get my script together and my voices together. I don't have the experience Bob had, but Bob has some great voices. But there is a voice that I really like. It's the Joe Strumpf voice, power of positive thinking. But he has this Midwestern voice. It's kind of like this, Bob. You know what your problem is? You know why you're such a loser? You hang out with losers. It's all about money and more money.
Yeah, that makes that voice makes my throat hurt just thinking about it.
But it's this positivism in Christianity, you know, like Christian Scientists. How could you become a Christian Scientist, you know? So I like this idea that everybody is upbeat and, you know, we're all here for the church. But, you know, what they're proselytizing is a crock of shit, which is the church of money. And,
right. By the way, this from Randy in PA. Stop telling us how to do time checks, Bob. Yeah, well, that was no way that wasn't going to happen.
I got door garbage slimed by the Jehovah's Witnesses the other day.
Oh no!
Well,
I've told you what happens when they show up here. Agnes goes and hides in the bathroom, and we refer that as Agnes going into the witness protection program.
don't get any on our door, and I don't know if it's the giant pinnacle hanging on our shed or not.
Oh, I had some.
They forced their shit right to you. There's a crack in the door.
I had some Christian fundamentalists, and I
threw the into the house.
The last Christian fundamentalist I had to deal with, I just told him Nietzsche's quote, and I said, "Hey, look."
I hope, was that Tim or is that me? I hope we're not having fun with Skyping.
Well,
yeah, okay, we just reconnected. That was on me, I guess.
JWs, your icon just went up.
The JWs don't come here as often as they did at the old place, but I always act all hurried and frazzled and tell them, I'd love to talk to you, but I'm on my way to give blood. And then they run.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because, you know, a Jehovah's Witness will let their baby die on the operating table if there's a transfusion involved.
What?
Jeez. Yeah, they're anti-medicine.
No, they're not anti-medicine, just transfusions, because...
Okay.
Then Jesus doesn't love you because you might get some heathen's blood or sinner's blood, and they found some verse somewhere that says, you know, they think that because crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, you out there? Earth to Scott.
Yes, Scott here. Yes.
Yes, I got a movie recommendation for you, friend.
Okay, I love it. I love it.
Netflix. It's called The Highwaymen. It tells the Bonnie and Clyde saga through the eyes of the Texas Rangers. And
oh,
it's really
seen it two times already.
Really well done, yes. Because they make Bonnie and Clyde very mysterious. They're not out and in your face. You barely. Well, I don't want to give too much away, but you need to watch it.
That's a good movie.
Spoiler
alert on that one. Everybody knows Bonnie and Clyde die in the end.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the car. It didn't end
really
well, you know.
Grizzly their ending was.
Yeah, it's pretty grisly. But the
thing about the movie is they filmed it on the exact spot where it happened.
Louisiana. Ah. Yeah, they try to keep it as historically accurate as possible if you read the front prelogue of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were killed in Alabama, weren't they? No, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a good movie. I like the Ford they drive. That's an old Ford Model A, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's just very well done.
Yeah.
During the Great Depression, wasn't it?
Yep. 1935, I think. It happened.
So 34. It was the first Ford with a V8 in it.
Wow.
But Bonnie deserved it. She was crazy. She murdered people outright, killed a cop point blank with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Well, that 1967 movie
with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
Oh, but they weren't the only ones. The supporting cast: Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder.
I can't help but like that, even if it is probably way far from what actually happened. But you can't help from liking it. It draws you in, you know.
Well, I've heard good things about The Highwaymen, and I did add it to my list. So,
well, that movie set up Gene Wilder for his appearance in The Producer.
Yeah, I heard that.
And while you're at it, it's called The Legend of Cocaine Island. It's a documentary, but it's highly entertainment too.
Oh,
highly entertaining. Yeah.
I couldn't tell what I didn't read the snippet about it, the little capsule blurb, but the title intrigued me.
Definitely worth checking it out. What they say, most fairy tales start once upon a time, but in the South they start. You ain't gonna believe this shit.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
It's definitely worth watching, man. But that's all I got, man. I really enjoy talking to you guys, sincerely.
All right.
Well, I mean, don't run away or anything. Who knows what we're going to get into.
Yeah, Steve, what the hell, man?
It's pretty early to get drunk on the Crown Royal here. It's only 10 your time, Steve.
Katie bar the door. Billable Rick's got the crown out. Oh, have you? By the way, I just saw it, and it was like, oh, really? There is now Peach Crown Royal out. I mean, is this like Joe Camel, where they're just trying to entice the kids to drink a little younger?
I don't know. It sounds gross.
What, does it come in an orange bag?
You know, it does. It does.
Actually, it's probably for ladies, Bob. It's probably for the women to drink, because a lot of times ladies like sweeter drinks than guys do.
It's like a wine
cooler. Excuse me, what?
I'm being a little Bob.
Uh-oh, you got... How did you get on the wrong side of Tracy that fast, Rick? Most folks have to work at it.
Because the ladies say what?
Oh, gosh.
You know them delicate, sweet, fruity liqueurs, Tracy?
Do they even sell wine coolers anymore?
Yeah.
I used to like those, I must admit, so there you go.
Well, you know, well, they do have the Crown Royal Apple, and it does come in a green bag.
Yeah, well, and the peach comes in a peach bag.
Mm. Well, okay. I mean, because I'm not an alcohol drinker really, and so, I mean, I can drink because I can throw back, but I just choose not to really get into it because. Yep. Of the history of alcoholism in my family, so I'm very careful.
Yeah, because good policy.
Yeah, good policy. But it's like, you know, the other day when I told you about Sunday being National Beer Day, and I went to the Yard House, and every beer on the menu, did you get that link that I sent you to? With all the different beers?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, what was that? How many pages was that? My God. I mean, and every single beer in the joint was $3.
Wow.
And I mean, yeah. Wow. I mean, like I said, I'm not a beer drinker, but they did have a Lambic. So I had a couple of those, but.
What flavor?
Oh, and.
Raspberry. You need me to ship you out, Dogfish Head, Tracy.
Say, excuse me, what, baby?
I said, you need me to ship you out some Dogfish Head.
No, I think they sell it here.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
they
really?
Do. Oh. Yeah, it's all over the country.
I mean, good.
But I love Tracy. You mentioned those
in California.
You mentioned those Lambics. I love those. You know, those come from Belgium,
mm-hmm.
and they are fermented completely against the grain for how you think beer. They're open fermented, and these Belgian countries. Well,
what is open fermented?
It's wild yeast. Yeah,
is that like an open MRI? What?
No, it's well, kind of only with the open part to the sky. You know, old. You know, the breweries are like old and wood, and the fermenters, instead of being covered, they're open to the air, and they ferment by virtue of the wild yeasts, and the beer itself is like 50% wheat, 50% barley, if I recall correctly. And the wild yeasts ferment it and turn it sour as fuck. And
mm-hmm.
The kind that's not flavored with any fruit is called Guze, G-E-U-Z-E. And it'll turn your mouth inside out.
I'm just thinking about the tartness of that. Because I had two, and it didn't hit me at all. And, I'm like, okay, because we went to lunch last Sunday before we went and saw the Aretha Franklin concert documentary. I mean, it was not really a documentary. It was just footage of the concert. And what I loved about it was the fact that there was no commentary. There was no talking heads, you know, like Quincy Jones and all these, or just basically men trying to say what Aretha was doing. It was just
Did it sound good, Tracy? Did it sound like you were at a concert or?
Dude, it was wonderful. I mean, I was going to church. I was like, the only downside about the whole experience is that I was surrounded by white people. So I couldn't really go to church like I wanted to and start singing and shouting and shit because, you know, white people, and they're not Southern Baptists, you know, so I'm like, fuck.
So they get a little too startled when you start doing that, Tracy.
Oh, dude. Plus, I was in Burbank. So I'm like, you know, I don't want to cause a ruckus. Had I been over at the Magic Johnson Theaters, I'm sorry, I didn't even call that anymore, but over in L.A., where it was also playing, it would have been a whole different situation. Then I could have just really got down with it. But the thing is, my friends that I went to see it with, they look, because I was wondering if they were going to enjoy it. And my one friend's been listening to the Aretha Franklin Amazing Grace album all week long, every time he gets in his car. Wow. And these are two gay white men from Texas. And one, my best friend, because he grew up in the, what is it, Christian Scientist? Those are the ones that don't play instruments? They sing.
No, that's your United Church of Christ.
Yeah, the Church of Christ, right. That's right, the Church of Christ. So he grew up in the Church of Christ, but so he knew the hymns, but of course he's like to hear them, the way hymns should be. I mean, and I'm not disparaging anybody's religion, but you know, if you've ever been to a black church and you've heard the gospel versions of hymns, and then if you come from one church to another and to hear the difference. Because I've gone, I grew up in the Missionary Baptist Church. I was in the choir, the whole thing. So it took me back to church the way I remember church being, before the rhetoric, before the homophobia, before everything. And it was just like, I think I said this to Bob. I felt Jesus again for the first time in a long time. It was just. It was, transcendental? It took me out of myself. It soothed, it just made me feel, this is one song, Holy Holy, and it's written by Marvin Gaye. And that's the first song she sings at the beginning of the concert. And I was starting to cry before the song, the handlings played like a couple of choruses on the piano, and I was done. I was on the floor. I'm sobbing, if anybody's ever, I'm a professional crier, so I know how to cry in public without, calling attention to myself. So I'm sitting, but unfortunately, when you cry, you can't hold back the tears. So thank God that I was in a darkened theater. But I'm telling, if anybody has a chance to see that movie, you must. And also, if you have Apple Music, because she had, there's like I could tell you pretty much every single song on that album. But the album that I had,
you can't beat the Queen, man.
Well, yeah, the album that I grew up listening to has all those songs. But the thing is, there's no In the other version of the album that I was listening to, they have the intros and the outros or what have you of James Cleveland speaking in between the songs and giving, the background of the song and stuff like that. And then they also have C.L. Franklin, Aretha's father, because like I said, it wasn't like they were commenting but it was all part of the program. But one of the best parts of the movie is when Aretha's at the piano playing and sweat is coming off of her, and her dad gets up out of the audience and takes a handkerchief or a towel and wipes the sweat from her brow and she doesn't miss a beat. She's still playing, she's still singing. Pops gets up, wipes the sweat from her face and her whole face, her neck, her cheeks and everything, and then he sits back down. And she was such a consummate professional that it's like she didn't stop, nothing. It was, I'm telling you, if you guys get a chance, it's the complete recordings.
Yes, music inflames temperament. Hey, I hear you, Uncle.
Yeah,
John.
You're here, John.
Hey, Tracy, be careful about crying in public. You'll track those sweat beads.
That story. They're what? Wait, come again, baby. What?
Sweat bees.
Did you hear about that story with the woman?
No.
With the,
no.
You want me to tell that? Yeah. So there was a story about a woman. I think she was in the Philippines, maybe, or it was Korea. I can't remember where. But she was having like these horrible eye irritations under one of her eyes, and it had gone for like a week or something, and she couldn't figure out what was going on. So they went to the doctor, and they, you know, shone a light in her eye, and they were poking around in there, and there was legs moving around. There was four little tiny sweat bees that were living under her eyelids.
No, stop it. Stop it.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Nightmares. Nightmare alert. Nightmare
it's
alert.
Crazy.
No, I got the creepy crawlies. Oh.
Well, in that case, I'll avoid telling you about the French.
I think we've ruined the Central Time Zone for dinner now.
Yeah, Central Time. Well, and
there's all kinds of weird shit in Asia.
And the mountain time zone is in jeopardy. Yeah, because Agnes pointed out a story to me the other day of, and she'll probably, I'll take one can off my ear so she can correct me. I think a woman drove her car into a tree when she saw a spider on the driver's seat of the car she was operating.
Say what?
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. Even I'm not, okay, come on. Now, see. I can be, and I hate to say that about, you know, being a quote-unquote girl, but, I mean, I won't freak out over any kind of bugs or spiders, but rodents, because we had an issue, and we had like, some serious, it was crazy. We had paid to have the attic cleaned out, the crawl space cleaned out, to rat-proof the house. Then after we did that, then all of a sudden we had this crazy infestation. I'm like, wait a minute. We didn't have any issues before, and now we do. So every night, I would not leave my room until Alex got up in the morning and cleared the traps. Because I'm like, I would be sitting, like, doing homework or something, and they would just come walking around. There was this one that just looked at me like, yo, bitch, what? You know? I mean, like, it's like, you know, I mean, it was like, you know, you feeling froggy, bitch? You want to, you know, you feeling froggy? Leap, motherfucker, leap there. It's like, I'm telling you. I'm like, I was like, what in the world are we raising?
Wait, hold on. Is this spiders in the hood?
No, I'm talking about the rats, you.
Rats.
Oh, yeah, rats, I'm sorry.
Rats? Did anybody mention rats?
Rats. Yeah, that's what Tracy was talking about.
Yeah,
I found a dead one behind the man cave. But I haven't trapped any lately.
Yeah, you used to, like, you used to regale on stories on what you were doing, that you had some, you know, that you weren't poisoning them, but you were just kind of catch and release.
No, I was electrocuting them.
That's what it was.
Oh, stop telling us how to catch and release mice, Tracy.
Hey. Look, we were killing the bastards.
Hey, I'm gonna interrupt ever so briefly. Wait a second. We got a note from Darlene in Connecticut, a member of Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. Okay, I was gonna ask Tracy if she could handle a rodent, a mouse running around in her car while she's driving. Totally happened to me. Spiders, no problem. Mice, don't mind them, except if I'm in a contained space with them. You know, like in a car. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So
hell, I break from microbes.
Oh, great.
And so here we are at the top of the hour, and just so folks will know, we're $170 away from being done for the week.
All right.
And Megan? Oh, sorry, Bob.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Megan, you Dogfish Head, have you ever tried or heard about their oyster-flavored beer?
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Oh, man.
That's the first I heard of it.
Yum.
Yeah. You should, if you're close by.
That sounds like that'd work.
How about liver beer?
Oh, shut up.
Sorry.
That's just disgusting.
Didn't have chunks of oyster.
I just thought I'd toss that one in.
I found it on the
oh, my God.
I found it on the menu somewhere. I actually ordered one, and it was salty.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Maybe a slight metallic tang to it.
Yeah. It was very interesting. I don't know if I'll ever have another one.
I'm going to have to go down to Dogfish Head now and try that.
Yeah, ask him about it. And there's a great story behind it, too, that I heard from somebody about how he came up with it.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a first. I've been living here about over 20 years. That's weird.
Somehow, I don't think oyster beer is going to be, according to Hoyle, with the Reinheitsgebot. Water, water, barley malt, hops. Stalker. Nope, I don't see oysters in there anywhere.
Well, I'm not a big fan of oysters or beer, but I might try one if there's a promise that you might find a pearl in one of the bottles or cans. You know,
pearl wisdom.
Ah, we got to do a pickle shot, man. We got to do one.
Just don't eat oysters raw.
With an oyster beer kicker.
Come on.
What is Mike's treat again? It's coming up, ain't it?
So, John Bertabo, what are you up to, man?
He dropped out.
I think he said, I guess he couldn't hear. I heard him.
And yeah, connectivity issues.
I said, I hear you.
I heard him.
And he probably doesn't have Travis around to fix his problem.
Well, I'm gonna ring him up and see if we can get him back in.
Call the stress line.
Can I say, Bob, that your pictures on Facebook when you were outside Trader Joe's made me laugh way too hard?
Oh, I'm so glad.
Because you look like a little kid at Christmas time.
I was just tickled pink.
What, at Trader Joe's?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you manage to get everything you wanted out of Trader Joe's?
No, but I got my yuzu fix.
Oh, okay.
And I got my dragon hot sauce, and I got some of their hatch-style green chili salsa. And I bought a tub of avocado tzatziki.
What is that?
Oh, wow. Is that for
a
Euro? Are you
going to
make a Euro?
No, I've just been dredging corn chips through it because I got a bag of their organic white corn lime flavored tortilla chips as well.
Oh,
and I finally get through, and I'm going to have to listen to food porn.
Well, I mean that's why I resummoned you, John.
I appreciate it, Bob, because that's the only thing that hooked up right.
Torture on the head on. Food torture.
But I also got two hunks of aged Havarti, and they're just gone. So
smells like feet, doesn't it?
No, Havarti. It's delicious. It's Havarti that's been sort of aged, and it's not spongy anymore.
Fromunda?
No, Havarti.
What's Havarti?
I knew that fella one time, but he moved.
I'm kind of stupid with food. What's Havarti?
Havarti's just this lovely semi-soft Danish cheese. They put dill in it and caraway, okay. But this
Danish
didn't have any of that. This was just
aged,
so it was more solidified, and the flavor changes, and it's just wonderful. It's somewhat like that Kerrygold Dubliner, only even better.
Oh, wow.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know, Brother John.
My horizons. I'm doing all right, Bob. How about you?
I'm happy because I am home.
I know the feeling, buddy, but Dan, I want you to know I was watching you and just proud as shit of you, buddy. Just really am. Y'all got something done.
Darn sure did.
Yes, yes. It takes more than a voice. It takes more than a voice. It takes somebody knocking on the door, baby. And that was you, Bob.
Well, it was me. Shit. It was me and Bo. And
did you get a chance to meet Liz Cheney?
No, you know she didn't show up for the hearing. None of them. Only one Republican showed up for the hearing, and that was Dr. Paul My own siblings hate me so much they endorsed my opponent Gosar of Arizona.
Oh, that guy!
Oh, wow!
That guy.
Yeah, the dentist.
I remember him.
Yeah, the dentist who's an expert in body language because he spent a lifetime of having people cringe and try to get away from him in the chair.
Yeah. Got him cornered. Well, yeah, all his brothers and sisters came out and talked
to his ass. What's the guy's name who gave John Kerry a ribbing in Congress?
Oh my God, that's a guy named Massey. That's a guy named Massey from Kentucky.
Idiot.
And if his brain,
such a jerk.
Jesus Christ! If
Bachelor of Science.
He wouldn't have enough sense to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel. That man is epically stupid.
Yeah,
yeah. Bend over and look under.
Got a degree in mechanical engineering from MIT.
Well, did you hear what Kerry said to him? He said, "This is a kangaroo hearing."
It was great.
Oh, that's Kerry, what you're talking about. Oh,
yeah.
Kerry was going to it. And that was beautiful.
He was talking about the president's stupid committee on climate change that nobody knows who's on it.
Who was the guy that said that climate change could be solved by white people having more kids?
Yeah, this sounds like something Steve King would say. I don't know
actually,
who actually said it.
I think that was Jesse Lee Peterson, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
you're kidding.
Yeah, Tracy's buddy.
And people having more babies would solve all the world's problems.
That was a congressman
on the floor.
Wasn't he a porn star that had his wiener cut off or something? Or?
What?
Wait, what? No, you know that Jesse Lee Peterson is like. He's like that character in the Dave Chappelle show. He thinks he's the Grand Wizard, but he's blind. Realize he's black. What? That's Jesse Lee Peterson. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah. Hey, I've got an update for you because Darlene's note about the. About the costs of health care on the exchange, they've got poor Robert down in Australia kicking furniture. Robert writes in from up over down under. Australia single private health insurance costs. Bob, did someone say $1,600 per all caps month for health insurance? I got a quote from an average private health insurance company here in Australia. Basic health insurance from that corporation for a single person will cost you $1,620 per year. And you can claim back 25% of that, $405 on your income tax. Thanks, John Howard, for the corporate welfare. PDF attached. Let me see if I can get this thing open. Working.
Hey, Bob, you should be talking in your Australian accent.
All right. Well, you
is he
see,
trying to encourage immigration to Australia.
I was waiting for the PDF to open. Medibank.
Yeah, I'm on a bit of Australian in John's show last night.
Yes, we had Aussie Dave in our show last night live.
Lovely.
We had Dave from Australia and Hank from the Netherlands. So yeah, we had an international talk last night.
You had the better part of the planet.
Yes, and we were talking about the same thing, healthcare in their countries and healthcare. I'm sorry, not healthcare here. It's profit care.
Right.
That's what we have, and that's what they're working towards.
So your Medibank Silver Plus Assured and Essential Extras is $1,620 per year. Doesn't cover pregnancy and birth. Does cover heart and vascular system. No excess for kids on a family membership. Tonsils, adenoids, and grommets. I didn't even know I had grommets. Medibank Silver Plus Security is $22.92 a year, and Medibank Gold Complete and Top Extras is $24.13. Covers pregnancy and birth and gynecology, heart and vascular, no access for kids on a family membership, tonsils, adenoids, and the aforementioned grommets included, palliative care, sleep studies, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and immunotherapy for cancer, back, neck, and spine, and cataracts. On the other hand, your silver program also covers your digestive system. But this is if, but again, let's be
we
clear.
We can't do that here, Bob.
This is if you want corporate health care in Australia. Robert seems to be getting along rather nicely with the sort of single-payer plan, which costs him next to nothing.
Yeah.
You know, because it just happens in your taxes.
You guys all remember the Tom Cruise movie with the War of the Worlds? That's the American health care plan.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's it, buddy.
You know, fend for yourself. That's it.
Our health care plan is just hurry up and die, would you? Just hurry up and die.
Yeah, and die.
You know, if you're going to cost us money, get out of here.
Yeah, and now you have to be paranoid. If you come down with something, you're sick, you freak out. What am I going to do? I can't afford these costs. I have to pay this premium, which is outrageous.
Well, everything's so expensive, and then you got the same dumbass politicians are whining that millennials aren't popping out the kids fast enough. And I'm sitting here looking at it, and I'm like, dude, you serious?
Yeah.
Like, how many people are, like, living five generations to a house because it's too damn expensive?
Oh, without a doubt. And by the way, I just saw this on Facebook, since John's here, and, you know, John, you have to speak for the entire state of Texas when you're here.
Oh, that's me, baby. Uh-oh. I'm ready. What'd some idiot say now? Go ahead.
It's not what some idiot did. It's not what some idiot said. It's what some idiots did. They have introduced Texas Senate Bill 9. Texas Senate Bill 9 prohibits more than three people riding together in an automobile to go and vote.
What?
Are you shitting me?
Kidding.
State Bill 9. Wait, I haven't seen it. I'm going to have to look it up.
How do you enforce that? How do you enforce that?
This was a smart idea.
You have the cops sitting there in the parking lot for the polling station, and if four people get out, maybe one person gets arrested. I don't know. Maybe the driver gets arrested.
Oh, that's a crock of shit. Ludicrous. That's got to be a crock of shit.
This is how you get around that. You got to drop like the fourth person off two blocks away.
Walk up to the booth.
Shit, no, I'm going with a car loading, and I'm going to open the trunk and let them all out. Come on, let's go. Three in the vehicle. Are you shitting me? No, I haven't paid attention to
you
that.
Really wanna fuck with him. You really want to fuck with them, John. Everybody gets out speaking French.
That's right, baby. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Really screwed it, buddy.
There you go.
That's it, baby.
Allez, allez, vite, vite. Voterons nous.
Oui, j'ai pas de document. J'ai pas de document, monsieur.
You'd have him confused, boy. They'd be calling ICE on your ass. That's Spanish you just tried to say.
J'ai pas de le voiture.
Bob, what is it? I know what their purpose in the bill would be, what they're aiming for. What are they giving as a legitimate reason for such a law?
I don't even have to check in on the live feed from the Texas Senate. I can tell you. We're cutting down on the potential for your voter fraud there that way. Because, see, ain't nobody out there knows more than two or three people. And if you got more than three people in the car to go vote, you probably got somebody coming with you. What ain't even somebody you know. So you don't know that they're a real voter, and you're probably committing that voter fraud. Because after all, we had them statistics that showed all that voter fraud.
I am so happy that I don't live in Texas anymore. And I know, John, you still have to deal with it.
I know. It's my state, and I'm proud of it. But I haven't been paying attention to this one. I've been paying attention to 17.
Wow.
You know, where they're trying to pass the law that if you have an abortion, well, we'll just kill your ass and kill the doctor that did it, too.
Yeah, what the hell was that about? I saw that.
Yeah, it's a bill being proposed down here.
Have you heard
about the people who've got T-shirts and flags and banners that say "Choose Life" want to kill doctors, women who have
and women.
Let me tell you, baby, these pro-birthers, they are so pro-life, not pro-life, pro-birth, because they don't give a shit about you after you're born.
Pro-forced birth.
Just get you some shit. But up until that time that you're born, oh hell yeah, they'll kill a whole room full of people, baby, just to make sure that baby gets born. it's ridiculous.
How about passing a law that you take a sperm count? Every man has to get their sperm count counted at the beginning of the month, and then again at the end of the month. And if they're not all accounted for, then get their penis cut off.
Look, hold on to your breath. Hold on, because
goddamn, John.
What's that?
Every sperm is sacred, right?
Yeah. Well, and then the phone rings.
Or something.
There is a counter bill down here, and yeah, it's an actual bill being introduced. As this one is that if a man is caught masturbating, that's the death penalty.
What?
Give me a break, man.
Like, hey, you know, say that. Look, if you're
Jack, yet another reason I'm glad I don't live in Texas anymore.
You know, what are you doing?
Yeah, but I'll bet you a Democrat introduced it though, right, John?
Yes, they did. They did. That's
well,
right.
About,
you want to
well,
play that game?
This
game? I used to think that it was a fiction novel. Some people are taking it as an instruction manual.
Yes, yes. I'm telling you, it's a sad world we live in. It is.
It's a retarded world.
Come to California. All of them come to California.
Even if they can be any dumber, they're taking it as a challenge.
If they're so anti-abortion, more Planned Parenthood. Because Planned Parenthood has done more to reduce the amount of abortions in this country than any screaming ass, yeah, I'm here for the babies bullshit that the religious right cranks out every time this subject comes up.
If I see a bumper sticker one more time that says it's a child, not a choice, on the back end of a truck being driven by one more white guy, I'm going to lose my shit.
Oh, the one I love is the bumper sticker I saw the other day. It just said, "Choose life. Your mama did."
Did you hear the news out of California about
change mine
magazine? He's not going to choose
about
mine.
What? About, wait, about what magazine, Sparky?
Extended magazines.
Oh, no. What?
What?
They were illegal till March 29th, and then a judge struck it down. And then it went a couple...
What?
Buku.
1 million.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. They're against abortion, but they're going to ship weapons that could kill elementary school kids right where they sit in school.
Second Amendment.
No. Just the magazines. The magazines. Just California had a magazine ban.
There's a million that were shipped to California in that period, Sparky?
Yeah, in a couple weeks period.
Wow.
That's scary.
That's a lot of rednecks. That's a lot of rednecks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of rednecks that were.
Wonder how many of those will wind up in the state of Jefferson, Sparky.
Oh, probably a bunch of them.
God.
Well, how about this abortion bill in Ohio? Have you heard about that one?
The fetal heartbeat bill that the governor signed.
The heartbeat.
It's like it's a 6-week cutoff. So it's a direct attack.
It's before women even know they're pregnant a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yep.
They won't even know.
They're going
what they're doing, in all seriousness, is they're trying to pass a flurry of these ignorant, misbegotten bills in state legislatures, because if you've got 20 of them, one of them's going to find its way to the Supreme Court, and they're counting on Ann's boy Neil and Brat Kavanaugh to speak up for the patriarchy, basically, and do the filthy business that they were sent there to do.
Yeah. Great. So the white boy rapist and the other dude that creeps me out is going to determine what the breaks in my body for the next 30 or 40 years. No.
Well, Mike Malloy has a good term for that. He calls it "keep the bitches in line." That's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's male control of women's reproductive organs. It's bullshit.
Did you say reproductive organs? I didn't know there were.
Oh, my God. You sound like Trump there for a second.
Reproductive oranges.
Yeah.
Oranges.
Well, you know
oranges
what I'm saying.
Oranges of the species. That was a great book by Charles Darwin, as you all know.
Yeah. All of a sudden, science is a mood issue with this GOP, you know.
They think it's a liberal conspiracy.
Yeah, global warming. I like Santorum's comment on global warming. Oh, it's just a way of making more money for scientists.
Yeah.
Don't give me a break.
You don't know those people.
I said that on CNN.
They think they're so smart. Shit.
Well, we do have a orange glob sitting in the oval, sitting there saying we need to do away with judges.
Oh, yeah, I heard what? That.
What the hell was that? I just sat there and looked at the TV like I was Scooby-Doo.
He wants to get rid of everybody. It's not just judges. He's got his fixer in the DOJ.
That's right.
He's got his people in. He got rid of six.
Attorney General Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. He's there. He got the job. Barr. He knows what he's doing.
Bill Redactor Barr is what he's got.
He's a political fixer, and he was brought in to fix this. Donnie's got control. Donnie wants to be dictator of the whole damn thing.
No, I know. And he's
all cabinet brain cells to rub together, even know what the hell he's doing.
But you know what's scary? It's the lack of human of people in certain posts. You know, like the State Department is completely has been completely screwed up.
He can run all these daggone departments by himself. The dude's tripping.
He wants to run everything himself. Everything.
NBC in the morning and watch that orange glob be running around the White House lawn naked and screaming that the Mexicans are out to get him and Kellyanne Conway's on there. Oh, he's wearing clothes. He's perfectly sane, but the mainstream media is just lying.
That's a prime example. He tells, Kevin McKeelan or whatever his name is, the chief of border and protection, I'll pardon you if you go ahead and break the law. Just chase them guys back across the border. You don't got to pay no attention.
Hey, they came up in HuffPost.
Everything. He wants to control.
And see, the funny thing about that, John, is that's if, and work with me here. If that guy that he said that to does anything outside the boundaries of the statute of the immigration statutes,
yes, sir.
Then, even though Trump has the pardon power, he has in fact engaged in a felony conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
Because the nature of conspiracy is that two or more people agree to perform an illegal act. And if one of the two or more people takes a substantial step toward doing that, then everybody's guilty of the conspiracy. And
well, Kevin McClain better watch his step then.
Well, the thing is, Trump could then pardon him. Mm-hmm. But it would not absolve Trump of his felonious conduct in entering conspiracy. Into the conspiracy.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If
you do illegal thing A, I will do legal thing B. That's an agreement, and central to it is illegal thing A. And if there's a substantial step toward doing illegal thing A, then even if he does legal thing B, he's still guilty of the conspiracy to commit on illegal thing A.
So now, is there any doubt whatsoever that he told Michael Cohen to break the law?
No, he's an unindicted. No. He's an unindicted co-conspirator in the Southern District of New York, and you never hear a goddamn thing about that anymore.
Oh,
that's right. That's been buried.
Not
totally
yet.
Buried.
Not yet.
But my question is.
Where's Sparky?
Lawrence Donald Show.
And is he still saying two felonies, or has he figured out that it's really four?
Oh, well, he was just talking about the end game of the whole thing. If Donald Trump gets defeated in the election, with Lawrence O'Donnell's predicting this, the last thing before he leaves the White House to go to the Capitol, he'll pardon himself.
That's not going to work. I'm sorry.
That's not going to work.
No. Yeah, let's try that out in the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I'm guilty, but I'm
he
not
will.
Guilty.
He will.
He'll try it. Court justice is way off on that argument. I doubt you get Roberts to go along with that. Yeah. Never know, though.
But when
and
is,
if he
when
and if
he knows that at 12 noon he stops being president and they can slap the cuffs on him.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, I was wondering right. After all the yeah, dust is all settled on this, can this man go back to living in this country the way he did before? I don't think so.
Well, he can always go to Russia. He's got lots of friends there.
Yeah, well, he can go stay in Russia.
I have a question for Bob. When is the GOP gonna crack? When are they gonna start not supporting this guy?
When,
it's like a
when they are forced to.
Well, see,
when they are forced to,
I think the GOP is lapping itself at this point.
This ain't 1973, man.
Well, there's that,
Chris. The border, they'll crack. I bet you.
Yeah, he wanted to close El Paso, and then
Koch brothers will have a screaming bloody murder.
They have not. Yeah. Okay, so they learned their lesson in the House, but you see, the problem is the Senate, where they did not learn their lesson.
That's right.
That's right.
We can moan and groan and bitch and do all the investigations we want in the House. But if we don't get it through the Senate, it ain't going nowhere. And until the Republican senators turn on him, which they're not going to do until they're forced to, we haven't got shit on him except in the election.
Right, and you've got to have a fact.
Wait until we take the Senate in 2020.
You've got to have the fact pattern to support senators abandoning him in the Senate.
That's right. You have to have the
and
facts
so
come out.
If it was something like this, if there was a bill of impeachment on a conspiracy like what we were just talking about, where the Republicans don't have any choice but to either acknowledge it and vote to convict, or you just say fuck it, we give up on the rule of law altogether.
That's right, because that's exactly what happened with Nixon. When Nixon was being impeached. They didn't remove him from office until after those tapes came out, after the Republican senator in there turned their back. They could not turn their back on the evidence that was in front of them. And that's what we have to do with Donnie. We have to stick all the evidence out there when the Southern District of New York finally comes out with their shit, if they got something, and everything else that we can drag out of the Mueller report. It's all going to have to come out before.
I'm reading a book called Secrets of the FBI. And I just covered a chapter about Mark Felt, who was Deep Throat. And apparently in that book, some of the agents were grateful to him for leaking to the press when he did, because it kept it in the mainstream media, and it kept it as a news item with the public at large. They were able to go after him, because if they didn't get down, they wouldn't have had no reason to.
And therein lies why we have Barr right now. That's his job. Keep this shit out of the public, out of the Senate as much as possible.
He's Winston Wolf.
And he's, you know, it's a losing battle in the end.
Against him.
That's right. It's going to backfire on him. Yeah. But it's like it was like Nixon firing Archibald Cox. That just blew everything open, you know.
Yeah. But we haven't reached that because his supporters are a bunch of morons that don't give a shit about anything that we're talking about right here.
We're approaching the point where people are just going to leave them behind.
A lot of people like the idea of a dictator, which is crazy. There was some woman soundbite I saw in one of the progressive shows. I could not believe it.
Right out there.
Yep.
Yes. I want Trump as my dictator. If I'm going to have one, I want kiss my ass. You understand what you're coming out of your mouth?
You want to have some
But they'll believe any. I mentioned on my show the other day about Pat Robertson, who has that 700 Club, and you know it's a big file. These people are so. He told them that God had told Pat that Donald was written in the Book of Life. And if that ain't enough, God told him.
Donald Trump is
going to be the same thing in heaven as he is here now. He's going to be a real estate mogul, and he's going to have a beautiful mansion on a mountain. Are you shitting me? Because if that statement is telling me, well, God ain't going to be in control of who gets the housing around here, it's going to be Donnie.
Exactly. Well, let's backtrack.
So Donnie is God then, I guess.
I got a clip here. Let's backtrack to earlier this afternoon. And by the way, we got a half an hour left in the program and $170 to go to finish fundraising for this evening. Thanks to everybody who jumped in and finished Randy and PA's challenge, and got us started on the next on the remainder. We've gone down from 290 to 170. 170 to go, and if we could knock that out in the next 30 minutes, it would be tremendous. So
it's not just talk, people. It's not just talk. It takes a lot to do this, and Bob's trip to Washington proves that. It takes money to do a lot of this stuff. So every donation is so appreciated by Bob. I know it is.
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much because, you know, and
it's
when you
what
say,
keeps
when,
you afloat.
Yeah, and when you say it's not just talk, I think you really touched on something there. I mean, we're talking about stuff on this program that others aren't. You can tune into the multimillionaires who do 3-hour programs and wind up actually talking for about 2 hours and 10 minutes because the rest of it's commercials. And you're not going to have a detailed analysis of like what I called last night the Thomas Riley Marshall Clause of the Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, because I'll bet you a whole bunch of the so-called geniuses on our side don't even know who Thomas Riley Marshall was.
No. And they're not fixing to learn either. They don't give a shit.
It's not exactly a household name, though, Bob. I mean, if you're honest.
Well, no, but it's kind of important. And he was once. And you know what? Actually, Rick, it is kind of a household name because everybody, well, maybe of a certain generation, everybody's heard that old saying, what this country needs is a good 5-cent cigar.
That's what we need, baby.
That phrase was uttered sarcastically by Thomas Riley Marshall.
Mm.
A good 5-cent cigar.
A vice president of the United States who hailed from the state of Indiana. But you're not going to get that here. Darlene just jumped in and said, I'll kick in the 100 if somebody else will cover the 70.
Oh, that's a big jump. Somebody jump in there and do that.
That's awesome.
Collectively, if you have to.
I mean,
that's an outstanding.
7 people at $10.
That's it, baby. You could do that easy.
Hey, Bob, easy. I'll do 10. I'll do 10 of that 70.
There you go.
Thank you very kindly.
You guys use another 10?
There you go.
All right, there.
Hold on.
See what that motivation does? It is. It's important. It's important because you're not only the information you're getting in a program like this, you're getting it from the people that are living out there just the same way you are, baby, and they're talking the same way you do. It's a conversation, and it needs to continue all across this nation.
Yeah, and while we are occasionally guilty of running the program into the gutter and talking about shiny heinies and whatnot.
Shiny heinies. I knew we was going to go there. Where else were you find that?
And you know, food porn and the like.
All of it. It's
And John, if the weather holds tomorrow, I'm giving serious consideration to firing up the chicken fall curry. Because
give me time. I got to do some shopping. I got to get my shit together.
Well, I'll have to do the shopping too. So it'll have to. I got to get out, go to the store in the morning, and buy get all set up and ready to go. But I will ask and see if she will cooperate, Agnes, to stand outside and shoot some video. And then we'll shoot video of me, hopefully weeping and sweating because it's so fucking hot. Yeah.
I'll do the same thing. I'll get my son. As a matter of fact, we acquisitioned a new camera. So we could have more than one camera view when we do our show, Tuesdays and Thursdays when we go live. So, but it's a real nice camera, and it came with a tripod, portable, baby. We'll do the same thing.
Hot diggity.
We'll have the cooking segment. And then we'll figure out how we're going to go live.
And, okay, thank you very kindly to Charlene, a charter member of the Sorority of Leans and a member of Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. Charlene has us down to only $30 to go
$30, baby.
To meet Darlene's challenge. So that's huge. Thank you, Charlene.
Did you just... I just kicked in 10, Bob.
All right, it just landed, so that's $20 to go.
$20 to go. That's easy to hit. That's only four of y'all at $5 a piece.
And that's and Chris just jumped in. That's $10 to go.
Only got $10 to go. That's two fives or $110 or more, baby. Because after this one starts a whole nother bill.
Well, yeah, sadly
it's an ongoing thing. Yes, it is. It's the truth. It's an ongoing thing all the time. And if you don't pay the bills, he's not on the air. Period.
Well, when is Progressive Voice going to have its own national network like NBC, ABC, or CBS? What does it cost?
Never. I mean,
Stephanie Miller.
Never. I know, but
Miller's starting up a page with a whole bunch of different liberal podcasts on it. She just started up. She's Randy Rhodes is doing like an after hours thing, and she's got a whole bunch of people on that page. And I don't have the site, but what I'll do is I'll post it or I'll send
Is
it
that the sexy liberal thing that yeah. Oh, she had made an announcement on Twitter about that. It's a consortium of progressive shows. I watch her every morning from 6 a.m. to 9, so she's a lot of fun. She's mainstream.
Stephanie Miller?
I'm sleeping, man.
Yeah. Oh, she's good, Mama. She has a good crew. Yeah, Mama.
But she's the only one I call Mama besides my wife.
Well, my cat likes to watch the show, and she gets up right out in front of the TV screen, and I take pictures of Lyra and upload them to Stephanie's Twitter feed. So, and then I announce, like, my cat just watched the Stephanie Miller show. So, anyway.
Well, you got a liberal cat, obviously.
Yeah, I got a little. Yeah, no.
Telling my son.
So let's as I said, let's time travel back to earlier this afternoon. This is Julius Geezer on immigration. They breathlessly cut away from the attack blonde on Fox to go to this. So and he's got some human props behind him wearing hard hats and like I don't know, looks Wonderful. Like climbing gear or something. Yeah, get the hockey puck.
No, it's probably his fall protection gear.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's a harness of some sort.
Right. Yeah, we had to wear them anytime we got in a JLG or climbed or.
Oh man, this administration is so pathetic.
I mean to tell you,
it's just sad.
What did he say, Bob? What glorious world words spilled out of his fucking mouth?
Here we go. Stand by.
Getting them, and we're doing the best we can with very bad laws. We have to change the laws. But we're apprehending thousands and thousands of people a day. And the law only allows us to hold them, as you know, for 20 days because of the most ridiculous laws probably we have in this country. If Ajit had laws like that for 5G, you wouldn't have anything built. You'd never have the first cell put up. But we have horrible, old-fashioned laws that are...
Yeah, I know. Me either. He compared the immigration laws with... 5G cell phone service.
Oh, man.
What the hell?
That's why they were doing
that. That tells you what he knows about 5G, don't it?
Well, let me pull a rabbit
Earlier, he said, you know, at one point he says, I like 5G, but I can't wait till we get 6G, 7G.
Yeah.
What? This is you.
Maybe he's got to hang him on G, like, you know, he's thinking a G string.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I know what the G stands for.
Yeah, 5 G's, 7 G's, 10 G's. I want my G's.
He loves G's. He's got the best G's.
That's mob talk. That's mob talk.
Right. That's
successful to commanded a spaceship into the sun and back.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's mob talk because he's a mob. Asshole.
Yeah. And we don't know half of what he's done in New York, you know.
Let's just ride the crazy train for a minute.
Put in by the Democrats. We're willing to change and we can do it in, I used to say 45 minutes. We can do it in 15 minutes, whether it's catch and release or chain migration or any of them. The asylum laws are absolutely insane. They come up, in many cases, they're rough gang members. In many cases, they're people with tremendous crime records.
Yeah, like the 11-year-old girl I was talking about at the beginning of the program. She's a rough gang member.
The laws that allowed his wife to stay in the States as the first lady.
Yeah, or
you know, Bob, yeah, he's right. Really slurring there. He's
yeah, he's not slurring. Okay. He's not okay.
He's no, he's not.
See, he's beginning. This is 2:52 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and I'm sure by now he's. You know, Darlene and I were talking about this last night. I'm sure he's into his sundown phase now. He's probably mad as a hatter as soon as dinner's over.
And they're given a statement to read by lawyers that stand there waiting for him. Read this statement. And it says, I have great fear for my life. I have great fear for being in my country, even though in some cases, some of these people are holding their country's flags and waving their country's flags. And then they talk about the fear they have of being in the country that the flag they were waving freely. So
freely. It's all about the adverbs.
Yeah. We are looking at the possibility, strongly looking at, to be honest with you. California, the governor wants to have a lot of people coming in, refugees coming in, a lot of sanctuary cities. So we'll give them to the sanctuary cities maybe to take care of if that's the way they want it, because we can only hold them under the current law for 20 days.
See, what's important about that is that the White House had earlier said, no, we considered that, you know, bussing them into the sanctuary cities. God,
yeah, what the hell was that?
And then I guess Pee Wee Herman Goering looked at him and said, no, tell them it's real. Tell them it's real. Tell them we're going to do that.
Yeah, it's Stephen Miller. Yeah, he jumped right in there, baby. Wow. You know, that's right out of his head.
Twist of fuck.
Yep.
He's that weird farmer that got taken over by the insect aliens in that Men in Black movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A slime ball is what he is.
He got taken over by the
Give me sugar water. Want more sugar. Yeah. You ever step on a fly? You ever see the fly get even?
Why do we send him to have Netanyahu?
What's that? To have and have not? No. What's that one where ever been stung by a dead bee? Who's that guy? Oh, famous movie. But I always think of that. Think about some alcoholic ramblings. Walt Brent, I think it's To Have and Have Not with Lauren Bacall. You ever been stung by a dead bee? They go, okay, go away now.
Walter Houston or maybe Walter Brennan or right.
Yeah, Walter Brennan, yeah.
By the way, Stephen New York says regarding Stephen Miller, call him by his proper name, Goebbels Jr. Steve also observing, just like that wonderful scene, and I think I've got it handy. Steve sent it along. Hang on, let me get this right. It just takes a second. I love a great movie clip. 5G, 6G, 7G,
10G. I want 10G.
Well, Agnes said send him into outer space and let him experience 10 G's on the way.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Oh, to the top of the outside of the
first general estate. The first general.
Make it all 220.
Cowbell, Bob. Cowbell.
Yeah, 220, 221. Yes.
Yeah, this. From the classic Mr. Mom.
Yeah, you're going to make it all 220? Yeah, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Yeah, 220, 221. There you go. You want a beer? 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch. Yeah. Oh, and hey, we've met the goal. Thank you to everybody who jumped in. Yeah, it's a big woohoo. And so we have to.
Do you have a party favor, Sound Bob?
I wish I did. I'll have to work some of those up at some point, Megan. But thank you to Elizabeth and Glenn. We have exceeded Darlene's challenge, and we are gloriously, hallelujah, done with fundraising for the second week of April. Thank you so very, very much.
I'm celebrating with a Czech style Pilsner from Bowie Beer Company in Astoria, Oregon. And if you've never been to Astoria, Oregon, you must go. It is one of the most fabulously gorgeous places on this planet.
Isn't that where they filmed the Goonies?
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm going there next week to visit a friend. Astoria is nice.
You gotta climb the old lighthouse.
That's where they film Goonies.
That's where they film Goonies. Because I was reading Corey Feldman's biography. He was talking about how weird a town it was, and the production agents thought it was great to film the movie there.
My sister lives in Warren, Oregon, which is far from Astoria. And yes, she's somebody that grew up watching the movie The Goonies, and she has been to the house on several occasions. It's still there.
She's like,
next time I come to visit, she's like, we're going to Astoria. I mean, actually, I've been kind of like through Astoria when I went up to Portland to see her. But she's been to the Goonie house.
So what's the vibe there? Is it hitch dippy or what is it?
Say what, baby?
What's the vibe there? Is it hippy dippy or what is it?
Not where she lives.
Our story is bohemian.
Bohemian.
I should tell you though, Astoria had a performance of Alban Berg's Wozzeck, which was one of the first German expressionist atonal operas ever written and produced by Alban Berg. Er war ein Mitglied von Zweite Wiener Schule. He was the one of the members of the Second Viennese School.
Did you just say? Atonal what?
He was the composer of the Second Viennese School, Mozart, but it's based on a book or a theater play by Bruckner, and it's about alienation. It's about a soldier who's comes back home after the war, and the people are telling him what to do, and he goes basically nuts. But it's all based on his subjectivity. It's a beautiful opera. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, what's the name of it again? It's atonal. It's atonal. But it was a big hit.
What's the name of this piece?
Wozzeck. Wozzeck. It's a classic in German, a 12-tone music of that period. He was a student of Schoenberg.
You say atonal, and I think like this.
No, that's
wait.
Periodic.
Yeah. Oh my God! Yeah. Is that right?
It's like, just play anything.
if you want real atonal music, listen to Karlheinz Stockhausen's Gruppen for Three Orchestras. That's
if I want atonal music, I take the silverware out and throw it on the fucking sidewalk.
Okay, never mind. It's an acquired taste. Look, I'm sitting here trying to change this by taking a fiddler on the roof.
That's about as far as I go with music.
this is not a play. This is music, right?
No, this is music. It's an opera. Wozzeck is an opera all about Berg.
Look up this on YouTube.
Yeah.
There have been operas that have been made. Go ahead.
But play some mean spoons.
But Albany, Oregon, had a performance of this, which shows
Astoria.
Astoria, brain fart. Sorry, but yeah, Astoria had a performance of this 10 years ago, and I was so disappointed I missed it because a friend of mine saw it and he said it was fabulous. It's the most amazing thing he's seen produced. Especially live, but Alban Berg developed a technique of singing called Sprechstimme, which is a speaking voice.
or a singing voice, but it sounds like they're talking. And the beginning scene with Der Hauptmann and Wozzeck, he's telling him, "Du hast nur einzige 330 Monate zu leben. Was denken Sie dran, Wozzeck?" And he goes, "Jawohl, Herr Hauptmann. You have only 300 months to live. What do you think about that, Wozzeck?" He goes, "Jawohl, Herr Hauptmann." You know, but it's intense. It's kind of like watching Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. You know, it's this weird period in German history, which is just before the crazy Führer. And I think the 1920s in Germany is probably the most interesting periods of European history, because so many ideas were going, and all of a sudden you had this fascist movement, and then all that went away. You know, all these German...
When there's a theater dedicated to its performance in Branson, let me know. And then I know.
Fat chance.
Well,
wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's Branson. Right, that's for Branson.
I am not the brightest crayon in the box. And this I'm talking the 64 color box with a sharpener on the back of the box. But this is over my fucking head, and I'm fairly bright, okay? And I, you know, the Trumpistas are down there drooling, scratching their head through their hat, saying, "What did he say? I could call every third word. What the? Hello?"
Well, another cowbell. This one for Ron and Raleigh. Wait a minute. Didn't they play that stuff on Sprockets? You know.
Yeah.
Now is the time on Sprockets, wenn wir dance.
Yeah. That's a good character.
Liebe mein Ausminki.
Yeah. Du sprichst auch Deutsch, Herr Kincaid.
I'm sure the maggots think that atonal is some kind of Muslim prayer.
Well, you know, Schoenberg caused riots when he first performed his work.
Well, I can imagine people trying to run, people running that hard to get away.
But he eventually had to have private concerts so he wouldn't have fistfights in the audience.
I'm trying to remember, there is one really interesting piece that was composed inside a German concentration camp. They had some beat-up instruments, and they had... imprisoned some musicians, and I'm trying to, it's like Concerto for the End of the World I remember listening to that, and there's a lot of that really modern who needs notes kind of music. But
Penderecki composed Threnody for the Victims of Auschwitz, and that's a really happy one. It starts out with these really high notes and violins.
You said you have your appointment on Tuesday for your tea, and then it's 2 weeks later is your next appointment?
Mute, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now we know what you're going
to say. Shut up. I'm muting.
You know, that kind of was a weird kind of thing coming out of the...
If we're going to talk about art from the Weimar era, that fits. Go ahead, Sparky. Yeah. What?
I got a sound effect for you. It's called East Wing Hammers on an 8-foot steel table.
Oh, if you want to listen weird music.
Wait, I know that song.
Listen to John Cage. He wrote some interesting music. But I got into modern music when I was in college years ago. I listened to Boulez, Stockhausen, electronic music. I really got into it. Now I listen to it once in a while. But if you want to really listen to good modern music, listen to Anton von Weber. Listen to his 5 pieces for orchestra. It's a classic. And Weber developed the idea of immediacy. A temporality. What is happening now is the music. It's not leading
would
up
that
to
be,
something.
Would that be W-E-B-E-R?
W-E-B-E-R-N. Anton von Webern. His 5 Fundstücke für Orchester ist ausgezeichnet. Sehr angenehm Musik. Es ist wie...
And all this time I thought Sonstücke was a filthy word.
But I mean, one of the
reasons...
As in,
why does my Sonstucker hurt when I pee, you know?
But one of the reasons why I got interested in German and German literature was because of atonal music.
This is why we can't have nice things, Bob.
It is entirely my fault. Yes.
That's right. But Webern, modern music, 20th century music starts with Webern. You wouldn't have had composers like Pierre Boulez or Karlheinz Stockhausen or Luciano Berio compose the way they did without Webern. He kind of set the standard. A lot of people just don't like atonal music. But it's an acquired taste. It takes a while to get used to it, and you don't like play.
If I can't drink beer and tap my toes to it,
it ain't music. Well, then listen to Charles Ives.
And no, I'm playing. I'm playing.
Something I could do a two-step to.
I'm a sad commie intellectual, Bob. That's all I am.
All right. We welcome you, bro.
That's two band names in one day.
We need to learn from you.
Two band names, commie illiberal intellectual.
Earlier today, Hillary referred to Julian Assange as an opportunistic nihilist or a nihilistic opportunist. And I thought, well, that's a fucking band. And now we've got sad. And now we've got sad commie intellectual.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, a band called Sad Commie Intellectuals would have to play like some sort of neo non-harmonic punk or something.
Well, there was a true band called the Dead Kennedys. You know.
Oh yes, I know.
And Oregon had Butthole Surfers.
Yes, I remember those.
Yeah, remember them. They were great.
And the Dead Kennedys was Jello Biafra, right?
I don't know.
I think so. He was the front man, and he got his start as the roadie for a band called The Nails, whose one claim to fame was a song called 88 Lines About 44 Women.
88 Lines About 44 Women.
I like it.
Late 80s or 90s, yeah.
There's a line about a Scientologist and so forth.
Yes, yeah, here, hang on a minute. Let's go ahead.
Don't forget Frank Zappa. He had some great titles, like She's Only 13 and She Knows How to Nasty.
Here's The Nails. Volkswagen licensed this song at one point. I mean, it's catchy as hell, right?
It is. Yeah.
Here it comes.
Deborah was a Catholic girl. She held out to the bitter end. Carla was a different type. She's the one who put it in. Mary was a black girl, and I was afraid of a girl like that. Susan painted pictures sitting down like the Buddha sat.
That's great.
Reno was an aimless girl, a geographic memory. Kathy was a Jesus freak, she liked that kind of misery. Vicky had this special way of turning sex into a song. Kamala, who couldn't sing, kept the beat and kept it strong.
I find it interesting there's a Kamala in a song from, you know, like 1990 or something.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a hilarious song.
Couldn't like, sing.
This is the Flock of Seagulls version of Mambo Number 5.
Yeah, thereabouts. But it goes on.
I'm going to try that one on karaoke night on Wednesday night, Bob, after my nine ball.
That's a good one.
There you go. Hey, Ferg knows every line of that song.
Bob, did you say that Volkswagen licensed the music for one of their ads?
Yes.
Was this back during the Farfenugan era of their ads?
Yes. I think so, Scott.
Early 90s, mid-90s, yeah. Somewhere in there.
I think so.
Volkswagen, 88 lines ad.
It's got to be Scott.
Yeah, I bet money almost.
Let's see if this is it. No, that's too cool.
Jesus.
Wow.
See, the point of advertising is to get the people to buy your product. And there's something about that music. You got to know who you're appealing to, your target audience. And I just, for some reason, don't see a lot of cars moving off the lot.
I do. I mean, that's going to appeal to the 18 to 35 year olds that buy the cars.
Yeah.
When?
You know?
When? In which universe? They're not even.
Back then.
Yeah, it's a little. That's a little too complex for me to find. But yeah, they did. They licensed that ad. And hey, we got to get out of here, y'all. And I need
somebody warm up the Volkswagen.
I need to extend. I need
kids in the car. I'll be there in a minute.
I need to extend thanks to Kat for jumping in. Thanks to Darlene for the challenge. Thanks to Elizabeth for helping to finish off Darlene's challenge. Thank you to Glenn and Christopher and Megan and Charlene. And thanks as well earlier this evening to Otto and Angel and Randy for the challenge. Thanks to Steve from Georgistan for getting it started. Thanks to Gary and Samson and Robert. You are all the ones who made it possible to finish the week, and that is deeply appreciated. There's something lovely about not being in a giant hole going into More End Monday. And thanks all of y'all for being part of it. This has been another rousing one. I really appreciate it. I love these things. Thanks to everybody who keeps the program on the air. Thanks to everyone who shares your precious finite time engaged in this little ongoing conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve, and thanks to Sparky in the chat room and over here in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves for the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thanks, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.